B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And we start this Friday edition of The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters in the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. It's only the second time in the history of the John Kincaid Show, and let's see, Coach keeps the numbers up top. We've done 159 of these now. It's only the second time that we've come in after an Eagles game. And the first time we did it was the first edition of the John Kincaid Show. So just a quick refresher. It's going to be a little different than maybe some other shows as far as how we handle things and everything. You're not going to hear a lot of, well, you know, on that third down play in the second quarter, you remember when that guy got, you're not going to get a lot of those calls. So if that disappoints you, I'm sorry. What you will hear is our reaction to the game. And more importantly, what I'm interested in is when we come in after games on this show, I'm more interested in what was Bob viscerally moved by? What caused Pat to throw his remote? What will Jamie tell us is no big deal and they're still going to go to the Super Bowl? I'm just kidding. But that's what we'll do post-game on this show. Preseason games, even a little bit more differently. It's totally different. We're not going to break down the game, but there's a lot of things that I saw last night. And we're going to get into a lot of differences. And Bob saw things and Pat saw things. And it's so interesting because we're going to do a couple topics today on other things where I'm always fascinated when people will look at something and they will see completely different things when they see it. I'll see something, Bob will see something, Pat will see something, and we're all seeing the same exact thing, experiencing that same thing. But we all have a different impression about what we saw. What I see last night, biggest takeaway I had, and I only care about preseason games till the starters come out. I was impressed by the fact that they look like a well-coached team. The first game, the dry run, the preseason opener. You got a chance to look like you are a mess. Disorganized, unprepared, dumb, just absolutely like stupid mistakes. I didn't see that last night. I saw a team that looked very calm, cool, and collected. And I also watched the head coach. And anytime they showed him on the sidelines and at critical junctures. And he seemed cool. He seemed calm. He didn't seem like the Price is Right contestant when he first got the job. I would say this. I don't care about outcomes of games in preseason. I don't care what the final score was. But when the starters left that game last night, I was definitely impressed. And that's where we begin today with Bob, with Pat. Jamie's still in the Outer Banks. We've got Coach with us. We've got Mike directing on YouTube and Twitch.tv. And, of course, Tom is in this morning for Connor here on the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. When the starters left the game, Bob, is where my I wandered over to Field of Dreams a little bit and then wandered back.
Awesome.
But to me, it was Eagles. It was an Eagles night, and I was impressed. Because I always expect bad in that first preseason game.
You know what, John? You nailed it. They looked crisp. They looked well coached. They looked prepared. Was there some drops? This, that, and the other? It wasn't a bevy of penalties. There wasn't a play design I liked. There was one play last night. I'm going to kill him. I think it was Jalen Reagor.
Okay.
Who ran a nice pattern. It was a double move pattern against a starter where he faked in, planted a foot, came out, was wide open, ball was there, boom. The play design of Doug Peterson got so stale where it was run 10 yards and turn and, you know, a bunch of button hooks and
sit downs. All day long.
all of that. We saw double moves last night. Of course, the bubble screen was great with Quez Watkins. But they, and Jalen Hurts looked on, missed a wide open deep throw, but the call was great. You're on your own 2-yard line. You throw a bomb. I love it. I'm not overreacting. Same as you. I look to see the tightness of it. How did the team look? What was, you know, was A getting to B the way it should be? It seemed all good to me.
Yeah.
It seemed tight. It seemed well coached. It seemed organized. And it seemed to me to be everything that I wanted to see out of a preseason game.
Pat, it was my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that Nick Sirianni's team was going to look like a rookie head coach, that his players didn't know where they were supposed to be on the field, that things looked a little skitterish. I didn't see any of that last night from them.
No, they looked like a football team. They looked like a football team. They didn't look scared. They didn't look lost. They just looked apart.
Okay, tone. I'm taking tone. Was that when the starters were in, was it better than you expected?
No.
So it wasn't?
Because I didn't have any expectations.
Okay, expound on that.
You can't take anything that's really done in preseason at face value. So even though it's a new coach, that's not what we're probably going to see week one. You know, I figured you get a bland vanilla offense. I felt like I kind of got that. Everything Bob said is correct. You know, they definitely mixed it up more. But I expect to see even, you know, more stuff going forward in terms of like regular season. I think that's when you'll see the full playbook. I thought they basically did the basic vanilla offense of Nick Sirianni's scheme.
Now, I'm a geek. I explained it to you very many, many, many times. We're going to try to clean up some of those pre-snap penalties. Okay? Guys are going to understand what their roles are and where they're supposed to be. Sometimes there's communication issues. Let me see. I wrote down one more here. We will be rolling into shape much more by the time we're ready to start our first game. Those were not Nick Sirianni quotes. Those were Doug Peterson quotes. His first preseason game.
How about that?
Those are three quotes from Doug Peterson's first preseason game. Actually, from the week after the press conferences after the game of his first preseason, but he talked about cleaning up pre-snap penalties. Guys are going to know where they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to be. We're going to round into shape and be a better oiled machine before the season begins.
Yeah.
Guess what? I went over every single Nick Sirianni quote. None of that crap. None of it. So I'm just saying is that to me, that was a positive. Like I expected that. I don't knock Doug Peterson that his first game, there was some.
Sure.
But it was strange to me. None of the quotes carried over.
Yeah. No, it was good. And you know, you and I have talked about this, John, on the air, whatever. My high school coach was a detailed guy. We were always 20 steps ahead of another high school team because we were so well prepared. That's kind of what I was looking for last night. Not for them to be steps ahead of the Steelers or anything like that, but steps ahead of what we've seen recently in preseason games. And it's great that you brought up those quotes. They looked fine.
Chris, I love like, you use the word crisp.
Yeah.
That's a great word.
Yeah, I'm not getting carried away.
And No, you're not.
Pat was all, I love what Pat said. Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like a football team. That's a little bit of something. Because with a 39-year-old first-year coach coaching his first game, to look as crisp as they did is saying something good about this team.
And I was impressed. Ross Tucker did it. I thought Ross Tucker was very entertaining, by the way. He does a good job with Westwood One doing on some of their games and some of the stuff that he does. But I was very I enjoyed that broadcast, too.
Yeah.
I usually hate preseason broadcasts. I usually hate them. To me, they always seem like amateur hour because people haven't worked together. Not because the guys that do them are bad, but they usually bring in like an NBA guy like to do the play-by-play or a part-time, you know, whoever's available. And then they put in an analyst that they're not used to working together. I thought Scott did a great job, and I thought that.
Sure.
But listening to Ross last night, when he did the pregame interview with Nick Sirianni was on the field in a golf shirt, pair of slacks, looking incredibly comfortable before his first NFL game as a head coach. And again, that just gave me a great feeling that he was excited for the moment, but he didn't act it. He acted calm, cool, collected.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I just, look, that's a word I walked away with. You said crisp. I love that word. That's a great word. I walked away impressed last night because I was expecting bumps, a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of messing, a lot of guys making little simple mistakes and everything. And I didn't get that. So that made me happy.
I wasn't disappointed. Put it that way. You know what I mean?
Good.
You could go into this and walk away and say, ah, man, there's the... But I didn't. I didn't come away disappointed. I came away saying exactly what I told you earlier. I like different things. You know, just if you're painting a picture, last night all I can say is I like the colors that you picked out to do that picture. I haven't seen any of the picture yet, but I like the colors that you've picked out. It's similar to you with your house. And, you know, you're picking out flooring or whatever. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I like where you're going so far.
Right.
So
that's the
way I look at it, yeah.
Pat, it just seems like of the three of us, you were the least moved by what you saw, but you said you had no expectations. How do you go into watching a game with no expectations?
Doesn't count. That's the big thing.
Okay, so what's with you? You just
if it does not count, I'll be frank with you.
Okay.
If I did not
no, you're Pat.
If I did not work in this industry, I would have never watched that game.
Okay,
I wanted to. I mean, I think everything you guys have said is correct, and I think it probably feels better. But I also think that it's kind of important. It's a necessary evil that we actually see them struggle at some point in the preseason to see how he responds, because we've already seen him now. How they do when obviously everything's going status quo and there were no mistakes last night. Like it was as best as you can get from a preseason performance because there was no real injuries and there was no real mistakes. But I also want to see how this guy acts as a first year head coach when there are a ton of penalties, when it's a crap show, how he is on the sideline. That's going to tell me more than what I saw last night, because when everything's going well, I mean, yeah, okay. He's going to look calm, cool, and collected. I'm more interested in how he acts when things aren't going well. So no, I didn't take much from last night at all.
So big news.
Yeah, I'm a downer tonight.
Big news. I think it's a realist. And I know. Pat,
yeah, no.
Pat, I think a lot of people in the fan base feel exactly the way you do.
That makes me feel good. I'm a part of a group.
That you've never been one to care whether anybody has an opinion.
Pat has a following.
Yeah, but Pat doesn't give a flip whether he's the only person in the room with an opinion. He'll have it. By the way, congratulations. As Jeffrey Lurie announces that John Runyon and Trey Thomas will both go into the Hall of Fame, and I know that Trey Thomas is a guy that you both have very strong feelings about. I only know Trey as a player. And for John Runyon and Trey Thomas, I just think of guys who came into this organization and frickin' stuck around. And Trey, I think, three Pro Bowls?
Maybe? Yes.
Three Pro Bowls. I mean, and there was a stretch of Trey's career where... He was just as solid and excellent as it comes.
Oh, God,
and,
yeah.
And John Runyon is one of those cornerstone pieces that I'm always going to remember of this organization. And for both of those guys, when I think of a team having their Hall of Fame, these two, it's no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's no-brainer.
Yeah, I was lucky enough that doing Daily News Live back in the day, Runyon was on every Wednesday, and he and I got to be a little bit friendly. We had mutual friends and stuff like that. He was the epitome of what an Eagles offensive lineman should be. You know, I'm not kidding you. For one season, I don't know which season it was, he would come into the studio, and he would have to stand right until the producer would say, "We're live," and then he would sit down because he had a tailbone problem. He couldn't even sit.
Coccyx injury he had.
Oh, my God. And
no pun intended.
Yeah, it was horrible. I felt so bad for the dude. As the show would go on and before we would break, I could see the sweat building up because he was hurting so bad. But that's what he did during the week. And then getting to be friends with Trey through this, you know, through this medium that we used to do. And I texted with Trey last night. I don't know of a more fun and better friend. Pat will talk to this. Trey is just a wonderful, wonderful dude. And when you watch, John, I wish you could have seen this. When you watch Trey Thomas break down how you're supposed to block people or how somebody else is supposed to block, I was mesmerized. Nobody, we don't sit there and analyze offensive linemen.
I don't know because.
Oh, my God.
He's amazing.
John, I'm not kidding you. Pat will tell you, it would make you stop speaking and you would just be entrenched in what he was saying.
He was one of the big reasons why I believed in Mailata in that first preseason.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
When Mailata came over.
Because
Trey, amongst other, but I mean, you were getting it from the horse's mouth and Trey. You were hearing it on Twitter and, you know, on TV right. from the other guys, but for Trey to break it down the way he would do it, yeah, and he made, he was just a fun guy, which you're always kind of worried about with former athletes, how they'll transition to this medium,
sure.
and whether they'll take it, you know, uber serious and not fun. No, you could tell, like, Trey was definitely a locker room guy, amongst being a Pro Bowler, obviously.
Yes.
But Trey was somebody you could have fun with. I texted him last night, he's very well deserving of this, and as is Runyon. I mean, I grew up with those bookend tackles.
Cornerstone guys.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about McNabb because he was well protected.
Yeah.
Number five, I'll always love you. And for Trey Thomas and John Runyon, congratulations and a great, great moment there. Phillies win game three. And I'm telling Pat, I text him right after I'm walking out of the stadium. There's a trend. If I go to the game, Phillies don't lose.
And what did I tell you?
He said, well, then go more often. That's six. That's six. I'm just saying.
Coincidence?
I think so. Complete coincidence.
I don't.
What I saw yesterday, though,
motivated.
I found myself doing something. By the way, Vincent Pellegrini, thank you so much for the kindness yesterday. We had a wonderful time down there. The seats were amazing. We spent 5.5 of the innings out and 4 innings in the air conditioning in the Diamond Club. Back and forth. And that's what everybody was doing with the heat. It was just absolutely incredible. That ninth inning was excruciating. And I was fine till the ninth inning. I was enjoying all the excitement of the day, the performance of the day. And then the ninth inning came. And I was cringing. And going, oh my God. At one point, I text Pat and I said, this is excruciating, this ninth inning. I haven't cared about a ninth inning of a Philly. I haven't cared about a ninth inning of a Phillies game that much. I can't remember the last time that I cared that much about a ninth inning of a Phillies game. And maybe it's being there. My skin was crawling in that ninth inning. And the horrible umpiring, which Pat will get into a little bit later. But I haven't cared about a ninth inning of a Phillies game as much as I cared about that one yesterday. And it felt great when it was over. It didn't feel great while it was going on. It felt crappy. You know what it felt like as that ninth inning? To just draw a parallel. Have you ever been on the turnpike or whatever? And you got to go to the bathroom. And you're counting down the miles till you got to get to the exit. And you're like, oh my God, there's still 4 more miles. There's still 3 more miles. Come on.
Then you just end up peeing yourself.
That felt terrible yesterday. Wow. But the ending felt joyous. And watching people leave, there was noise coming out of the stadium yesterday.
Really?
I pee my pants. There was noise. As heading to the parking lots with the Fugazi t-shirt guys and everything. And people were flooding to get their t-shirts, and they had Eagles and Philly stuff out. It was awesome yesterday. It was an awesome experience.
You know what? Well, you felt like that because it's twofold. One, they're in a pennant race. They're in a legit pennant race. But two, that game was huge because you needed to avoid the sweep. I mean, I don't think anyone, and I got in this with a troll on Twitter, but I don't think anyone thought they were going to beat the Dodgers in the series. That would have been an added luxury. No one really thought they were going to necessarily get swept. It was a possibility that I don't think would have shocked people, but I think a lot of people thought, okay, one of two. You needed to get that last game.
You needed it yesterday.
Because I don't think a lot of people expected the one game that you were going to win to be the last game of the series. You were expecting it to be one of those first two games.
And by dinner time, Joker laugh, it was 9-1. Like, my Major League at Bat app was up, and it just kept going, Dude, I'm going, what's going on? All the Reds are just crushing the Braves. So you pick up a game on the Braves, too.
Yeah.
And the Mets go into second place because the Mets think they're back. Like the Mets after the game.
Pete Alonso has a lot to say. You know,
they think they're back. See, I told people to calm down, and he's pulling that crap already. I told people, calm down. Yeah, guess what? You've got 2 weeks of the Dodgers and Giants, and the Mets flushing is going to be exactly what happens to their division hopes in the next 2 weeks.
Don't put down beating the Nationals.
Starting tonight.
Don't you put that down.
Flushing.
Wow.
Is going to happen starting tonight.
Yeah, you know, yesterday was just such a complete game by the Phillies. Like, it just seemed like a good, tight, again, crisp baseball game by a team that you don't see that a lot out of. And the fact that your bullpen gave you, what, 4 2/3 innings of no-hit baseball.
That was the big deal.
That's huge.
That was huge.
It was huge. And
how about walking? The big thing was, as we're watching the game, they walked to get to Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
With De Los Santos on the mound.
That hurt.
Holy gosh.
Like, just my childhood, that hurt to watch.
To see Albert Pujols, you're pitching around. I forget who they pitch around to get to, because he was third in the lineup.
Muncy?
I think you might have went by Muncy, who did not, by the way, nothing in this series for the most part. And you
Muncy got a little ticked early in the game.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
But it was
a smart play by the Phillies.
It was Muncy.
So he hits a ground ball. I think it was to short. And Didi, or it was Segura, whatever. They just held the ball a little bit, and then threw him out just to make him run on a hot day.
Right.
Smart play.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's baseball. Play the game.
He wasn't happy.
I don't care.
He wasn't happy. I loved it yesterday, because now the Dodgers can take care of the Mets for us this weekend. And remember, for the Braves, who are one game behind you right now, the Braves have 2 with the Yankees, 3 with the Dodgers, and 6 with the Giants. Do the math. That is 11 games of the Braves' final 47 that the Phillies do not have to play. 47 games, 11 of them are against the Giants. 6 with the Giants, 3 with the Dodgers, and 2 with the Yankees. Games that the Phillies have already knocked off their schedule. See, I got it perfectly right today.
I can confirm that's 11 games.
I executed it perfectly today. I didn't.
My brain is not in a pretzel like it was yesterday.
I think it's because Coach is here.
Is that what it is? He's the calming influence?
It's that calming influence.
He's the Nick Sirianni of the morning show here.
Now, next week we don't get Bob and we don't get Coach. Pat?
That's right. Coach and I are going to be.
Love the big wiener.
Coach and I are going to be grabbing some crabs next week.
Huh?
Huh? What?
Hello? Excuse me?
Let's hope not.
Wieners and crabs. That's what Coach does.
Let's hope not. Phillies in first place over the Mets. And a game over the Braves. This could be really, really fun. So we have lots of thoughts that we're going to share with you. If there was a thought you had on last night's game, a visceral reaction. Bob uses crisp. I use impressed. Pat doesn't give a flip. I don't know about you. If you wanted to jump in, you could at 610-632-0975. Nick Sirianni said something last night in his first post-game press conference that impressed the hell out of me. And I don't think I ever remember hearing it from Doug Peterson. You'll hear it next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hopefully your Friday's going well. It's not going as well as Pat Egan's, though. His is going really well. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. I want to remind you that a lot of insurance companies use jingles and mascots, but not NJM. When you're up front with your customers, you don't need gimmicks. NJM, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. Pat's Friday just got off to an amazing start.
Everything's coming up, Egan.
Pat got himself a nice, healthy option out of the vending machine.
Oh,
a
fig bar.
He got the fig bar, which, by the way, I've never even seen fig bars before in a vending machine.
It's the cousin of the Fig Newton, which was made by Isaac Newton.
I don't believe that to be true.
Look it up.
Coach knows
stuff. Rock a Bing search.
Coach knows stuff. Will probably give us an update on that one. I'm not believing that is the case. But Pat got the double, got the bonus today. The extra fig bar.
Yeah, you know what? Whatever. Egan just proved who he was just now.
Why, did you want the extra fig bar that he got?
I didn't want it. I didn't want it. I don't go looking for things. But Pat went to the machine assuming he was going to get one fig bar. He got that. And then he got an extra one. So if somebody says, oh, wow, you got an extra one, you know, yeah, why? You don't want it, do you? Well, no. Well, I didn't ask for it, but you could offer it to somebody.
Why would I do that?
And then he threw it at me like, oh, here, you want it? And I said, you know what? No, screw you. I don't want it. So, like,
wow, that's just terrible. Just,
yeah, it's just an insight into what Pat is. And, you know, it's disappointing, but it's what we live with.
So to how great my day is going, right? And I think we've all can agree on that. When you get a fig bar, your day's pretty great. Not as great as Wendy's.
Well, you're probably going to go to the bathroom later.
So on back-to-back days, Bob figured out that his one coworker, i.e. John, doesn't know a thing about him.
Doesn't listen to a word I said.
Doesn't know a thing about him. No, and then his other coworker, me, doesn't care enough to share fig bars with him.
So Bob's saying, you know what, I'm getting the hell out of here.
It's a bad
I'm getting the hell out of here for a week.
Bad, yeah, 48 fine. Hours for Bob.
Screw you people.
I called John yesterday just to say hi, you know, what's going on. He's like midway through the conversation. I'm sorry, who's this?
Who is this? Why didn't have you in my phone?
Well, that's fine. We understand who you are.
He quickly saw that it was Bob CO and he thought it was Bob Costas.
But.
Oh, that's the only reason he answered the call. Yeah.
There you go.
He was disappointed when it was Cooney.
Or I thought it was Kevin Cooney that was calling. Maybe it was
that's
Kevin.
That's fun, yeah.
And I saw Kevin down at the Phillies game a couple weeks ago, so that could have been it. I just want to thank people out there just for a second. Is the people who are out there that are our first responders. Yesterday afternoon, so I leave the Phillies game, and I'm driving home, and my daughter was in a... It was a bad car accident. She got hit by somebody just speeding and not looking as she was going through an intersection, and they just didn't even stop. And her car was totaled. And thankfully, her friend, who was in the passenger seat, which took a real big part of the impact, both of the girls a little banged up. They're both going to go see an orthopedist today, but they're okay. But from the cops who showed up to calm two teenage girls down after they were hit, to the guy, the tow truck guy, to the guy, the people who show up and show kindness to other people's children, you people are the absolute best. It's compassionate, it's loving, and you people are awesome. So thank you very much for that. Okay, so Nick Sirianni said something after his first game that I'm not sure I ever heard Doug Peterson do. Maybe Nick Sirianni knows something about his quarterback that Doug Peterson knew about his quarterback that he couldn't say it. And a lot of people may miss this, but Doug Peterson and his, I think, always sort of parsed his words a little bit about Carson Wentz's performances. He was very careful. Maybe it's because he was an ex-quarterback. So I'm taking a lot of things into consideration. Maybe Peterson knew Carson's MO up here. Maybe he knew as a former quarterback how he wanted his coach to talk about his performances. They were asking last night Nick Sirianni about his wide receivers and some balls that they didn't get to. And he said, yeah, there was we're looking to clean up those drops. He said, but I need my wide receivers to do better on some of those bad throws. That made me just perk up. He says flat out, you know, but I need my wide receivers to step up and make some of those, make some catches on some of those bad throws. I swear to you, I did a word search because I'm a geek. I did a word search on Doug Peterson last night and bad throws. And I'm telling you this. We've already gotten one more blunt assessment on Jalen Hurts' performances from Nick Sirianni than we ever got from Doug Peterson. But I'm thinking, too, Doug is a former quarterback. Maybe he knew psyche of quarterbacks, so you don't want to say that, you know, whatever. But he flat out said, I understand there were drops last night, but I need my wide receivers to make some catches on those bad throws. I don't remember Doug Peterson ever saying, man, the bad throws. He calls it out. He called it right out.
Yeah. I didn't I mean, the Quez Watkins one where they threw the bomb from the 2-yard line.
I had no problem with that.
No, it was, I love the call. I was all on it. I thought it was more of a bad throw than Watkins should have been able to get
correct.
There.
Correct.
I really didn't. I heard him say it. I was just turning it off when he said it. And it was kind of quizzical to me because I turned it off and I went to bed thinking, wait, what throws is he exactly talking about? I don't know, but yeah, if he's going to call people out, I'm all for it.
I
there was nothing Nick Sirianni did last night that I didn't kind of like.
I would agree. I just don't remember the blunt assessment like that, Pat, from Doug Peterson.
There wasn't. That's why you don't remember it. There wasn't. Carson Wentz was his golden boy. He was his handpicked quarterback. And that's part of, I think, the luxury of the situation with Sirianni is the fact that Sirianni didn't pick Jalen Hurts. He's not attached to him. I'm sure he likes him. But he doesn't have that attachment of I'm hitching my wagon to this guy, and especially the fact he knows that he has minimum 2 first-round picks. So what do coaches usually do when they get a job? They go get their hand-picked quarterback. He hasn't done that yet, but it's obvious he's not married to Jalen Hurts. I don't think any Eagles fan is married to Jalen Hurts at this point. So, yeah, I'd expect criticism from him because he didn't pick him.
I like the fact that we just got a, you know, yeah, but the wide receivers need to also be able to make some catches on those bad throws. I was like, dang.
He's not wrong.
He was not wrong, but
not
I loved
wrong at
it.
All.
But I loved it. But when you hear 3 of 7, or what was it, 3 of 7 for Jalen Hurts, I think was the number that comes down to, that was 5 of 7. There were 2 obvious drops.
Yeah, Hurts
Zach
was
Ertz
one,
with a
yeah.
terrible drop. And I, you know what's weird is I never remember Zach Ertz with, last year I remember it, but just blatant drops. Those were swallowed up by Zach Ertz for his whole career. I mean, and don't tell me it was a bad throw. Don't tell me. It hit him right the numbers, right there. Should have been a first down, and it's a drop.
Yeah, hopefully that's not something that we're going to become concerned about. Last year it seemed like he would lost a step. Throws were out in front of him that he didn't get to, whatever it may be. He wasn't breaking away from guys very well. Last night he seemed like the old Zach Ertz in that he got open. He was open and he was the reliable guy, and it was kind of that security blanket that Jalen Hurts is going to need throughout the year. The drop was weird, and it's something like you're like, oh, this is good, this is good. Oh, wait, whoa, what was that? All right, hopefully that doesn't happen again. I hope to God this doesn't become a thing with Zach Ertz.
I loved the, Pat, the catch by Dallas Goedert. But man, what a throw. That was a nice throw to Dallas Goedert. And by the way, nice catch and run. And he turned that thing up and he looked like he had a jump in his step. I always think he seems like a lumbering runner to me.
It's
he's got
funny.
Great strides. But he's a lumberjack.
He is so opposite of Zach Ertz in that after he catches, you're looking for something. Ertz, we know
yes,
what Ertz
yes,
is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ertz catches the ball and you know, somebody puts a hand on him and he's down. That's just who he is. And I'm
correct,
not,
correct, correct.
But with Goddard, when he catches the ball, I think he expects, the team expects, and fans, because we haven't seen it with Ertz, expect a lot after the catch, and that's the exciting part about him.
It was fun, and if you want to share a thought, you can. It's 610-632-0975. In Cooney's Corner, Bob says really, really good win. It's not the Eagles.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You know, I used the word crisp when I was describing the Eagles game last night.
Not Terry Crisp.
Not Terry Crisp, number 15 for the Flyers. But I was... I think the reason crisp came out when I was describing the Eagles was because I watched an afternoon of baseball that was really crisp. Up until that ninth inning, and a lot of that wasn't the Phillies doing, it was a lot of the umpires doing.
Oh.
But, I mean, no fielding drama from the Phillies yesterday. Actually, crisp in the field.
Yes.
A game that featured only 7 hits combined by both teams. Their bullpen gave up no hits in 4 2/3 innings. The fielding was fine. You had your leader give you a home run, give you a lead in the first inning that you never relinquished. You know, that's exactly what you want. In a tight, tight ball game on a hot day with the best team in baseball, they played as good of a game as you could ask from them all around. And with a bunch of backups sprinkled all over the place. You still have Jankowski in center field. You had Knapp had to catch yesterday. You know, Geiser, Hoskins is still out. All of the players that you still have out, McCutchen only pinch hit. You know, that was a really, really good game by the Phillies yesterday, and you needed it. You needed them to have a good game yesterday. Look, on an afternoon game when it's 105 on the field and you're, you know, a 1 o'clock start, a rare, you know, Thursday start like that, you anticipate weirdness. At least I do. A lot of times I've seen those games be, you know, 12-4 and they go 4 hours long and all of that. That was a good, crisp, needed win by the Phillies yesterday. And I think that might take you even further in this season than a sweep of the Mets or something like that. Winning a type of game like that yesterday, I think may go a long way for this team.
It is a you have to take care of business against bad teams. But when you're playing against the Dodgers, look, it's clear. Season series 2-4 against the Giants, 2-4 against the Dodgers. You went 4-0 right there in those games. You managed to find yourself with 4 wins, and you didn't get the season. But to me, I'm okay with it. Like, I sort of am okay with them being losing the season series like that. They almost split. I mean, and so I'm okay with it. But I don't have any false beliefs about what the Phillies are, Pat. Like, that this team is. Do you?
False beliefs? No.
Like, as far as, because just as far as, there's no belief in my head that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be breaking down Game 6 of the World Series this year.
No.
In my DNA, it's not there.
No.
As much as I'd love to believe.
Like, and I'll be the first to admit, like, when Quez Watkins scored that touchdown, I said, okay, it's not unheard of that this team goes 17-0 for the Eagles. With the Phillies, though, I think it's safe to say, no, we will not be breaking down the World Series. We're just expecting them to hopefully just break the drought of the playoff. Playoff list of baseball.
I want to hear the callers to this radio station stop talking about it. So I want that for as much as anything. I want to see the Phillies in the postseason so people stop calling up mealy-mouthed going, oh, well, you know, it's been 10 years since I've seen it.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. And they all sound the same. Everybody who uses that, they all sound the same. Low-energy callers. They're Lex. They're the low-energy callers. Somehow they don't get through on this show. Maybe you can figure out why. I haven't seen a playoff game in 10 years, so it's hard for me to get excited about the Phillies being in first place in August. I'm like, shut up! When I hear that, I just am like, shut up! Hang up on that caller! God, it's been 10 years and you're not excited to at least be in the mix? For God's sakes!
Come on, Pat. You're better than that.
I didn't do it to you, man.
I know you didn't. You're, Pat's a realist.
It's not your fault, John.
By the way, Bob, everybody loving your use of crisp this morning.
Yeah, I've used it an awful lot.
I've seen a Cocoa Crisp reference.
Oh.
I was a big Cocoa Crisp fan.
So they stopped that sound. That's the cereal's not around anymore, right?
Neither is the outfielder.
That's
very good. Cocoa Crisp. Yes.
There's no Cocoa Crisp baseball player, and there's no Cocoa Crisp cereal. Any other cereals? Let's do it. Like, call us up and tell. No, don't do that. Your favorite cereal that you can't find anymore.
Oh, my God.
From when you were a kid or something.
Wow, the s'mores.
I have no idea.
We're getting calls on it right away.
I was only allowed sugar cereal in the summertime.
What do you mean you're only allowed?
Because Betty would not get it because the nuns said John's too hyper at school. So I always had to eat crappy, bland, non-sugar cereal in the morning.
Oh.
But during the summer, I could have cereal. Do you remember Quisp?
Yeah, I do.
I think you can still find that. I think I saw it
really?
At Wegmans, yeah.
It was a spaceman. He was a space guy. He's like a little spaceman, like a little alien. And it was Quisp.
Like Buzz Aldrin.
It sort of had a Captain Crunch quality to it.
It did,
which,
yeah.
By the way, Captain Crunch was the cereal to me.
It still is.
That was the one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Captain Crunch.
I don't eat cereal all that much anymore, but it's almost like a luxury to me. Now, there's always about 4 boxes because I have so many kids. There's always like 4 boxes of cereal in the house. And my kids have really good taste in cereal.
Oh, so they do.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Golden Grahams.
Like Golden Grahams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had Golden Grahams.
Let's party with some
Golden
Grahams.
Wait a minute. I think I may have tasted
you had
a Golden Grahams.
You had it in my mix.
That was the first time. And I said, what is this?
Yeah.
This is like cinnamon. Now, to me, I thought it was, I asked him, because I don't do cereal. So I was like, is it, when we got the Magic Spoon, I was like, okay, this is why you need to eat cereal. Because Magic Spoon was good. Pat, what did you add? I thought it was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams.
Either Cocoa Puffs or Reese's Puffs, one of the two.
Yeah, that was a little different, but and I was surprised it didn't bother me.
The marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Not bad either.
They're magically delicious.
Hey, football's back, and it's time to list your futures bets, your long shots on PropSwap, where the average PropSwap seller makes $500 a month listing and selling tickets. Go to PropSwap.com. The only problem with the marshmallows from the Lucky Charms?
Yeah, they go stale quick.
No, as Pat walks around going, you ain't getting my Lucky Charms! You ain't getting my Lucky Charms! I didn't know that was for air.
I didn't realize that.
Frank in South Philadelphia joins us on the Fanatic. Frank, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, guys? How are you this
Good,
morning?
Man. What's going on? Good to hear you, Frank.
I was just like your guys were saying about the Phillies, man. It was good to see them avoid the sweep. They hung in there tight yesterday, and I don't care if they missed the playoffs 10 years. I'm friggin' excited that they're going to probably win the division and be back in the playoffs.
And Frank, when you hear a caller call up and do the, well, I haven't seen the Phillies in 10 years, me in the postseason, so I'm not really excited at all. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to change the station. Nothing against you guys. It just pissed me
off. That's why we don't let them on.
My God, it's brutal.
It's like, and seriously, bad luck, Schleprock.
Oh, my God. And my other quick point is, them umpires are brutal. The guy which is great and gets the first two batters out on like one pitch each, and then they miss back-to-back players with the strike three call. Like, come on, man. They got to do a better job.
I mean, they do. Pat has a lovely diatribe coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. On that, and I completely agree with him. Just that was terrible, and that stadium was pissed. They kept telling you on the heat index to, like, you know, get inside.
Yeah,
like go get fine shade and everything.
Right.
At one point, it was 113. The heat index in the stands, so they hydrate and do all this stuff. But you got people sitting out there in 107, 111, 113.
My balls are on fire.
That could very well have been part of the problem yesterday. And the fans were pissed at that. Usually an umpire wants to get the hell out of there in the night.
Well, that right? Getaway
Ricky
day.
Ricky said it yesterday.
Getaway day, afternoon game, 100 and plus degrees. I'm not kidding you, and I would love to hear this. I would love to see the home plate umpire walk by the dugout. Swing the bat today, boys.
Yep.
Everything's a strike. I'm not kidding you. I think players would enjoy that. Okay.
Anything close
is a strike. So I got to swing. And if he makes a few bad calls, look, dude, it's 110 out here. I told you, anything close is a strike. Swing the bat.
Pat,
nothing wrong with that.
Give us a feel-good story, though. What was the thing? What's the thing about preseason football that inspires you that has nothing to do with the game?
Well, yeah, we touched on it a little bit earlier when we started the show. I love listening to Ross Tucker. He brings...
I like him too.
Energy that I don't normally get during the regular season. He's fun. He's energetic. He's knowledgeable. I wish that he would have a permanent gig on some station, you know, whether it be CBS's broadcast, Fox, ABC. But he's really good.
Now, Ross is Putty from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
He is. First of all, he looks like him, and he is him. He's blunt. He's
the eight ball.
I think he does a damn good job. S.C. April. He did a fantastic job. And Scott Graham, too, did a really nice job last night. That was fun, because usually I hate preseason broadcasts.
I really have to start listening better. I really do.
See,
I mean, you
always say that, though. You don't.
I really don't. I just watch. I don't really care, especially preseason.
I always am listening, especially to the analyst, because I want to learn something. I want to find a nugget. I want to find
That's why I'm so dumb. I don't listen
learn. You're smart. That's because you're just so smart at these things. That's the way it works. Or you and Coach already have one foot in vacation, potentially. I'm surprised. Both of you, great energy this morning. Very, very ready to work. The day before vacations, a lot of times people get a little squirrely. You guys, perfect.
No, we're ready.
Perfect
Coach
energy.
And I want to kill this thing today before we get out of here.
Pat said we're having a meeting after the show. Pat said with Coach.
No, we're not.
He said no. No, Pat said with Coach gone next week. Him and I privately.
Oh, okay.
He wants to have a. He said he would like to take the show in some different directions next.
I'm not going to be here
with Coach out of the mix. So Pat, you're gonna we're gonna talk about that after the show.
Oh, it's gonna be a completely different show.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're gonna take.
We'll bring back the old Mike and Mike in the Morning. Open.
Take things. Different direction.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Should be a good time. All right. We have plenty to come your way in the course of the show this morning. We hope that you will hang out with us. It will be fun. I heard Cuz and Kevin Negandhi yesterday. And there was a discussion they had, and it fascinated me. And we're going to have a similar discussion and our reactions to it next. Stick around. Hopefully you're having a great Friday morning. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Phillies Reds today. The Phillies got a big win yesterday down at Citizens Bank Park. They're back at it. And you can raise the stakes with BetMGM because it's the best time to sign up. They're giving new customers a shot. Easy $100. So here's what you do. You sign on to BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app. You register. They're going to ask you for a bonus code. You type in PatEgan100. Then you can bet $1 on the Phillies or Reds. I would say the Phillies. And when either team hits a home run, you're going to end up winning $100 in free bets regardless of your original bet outcome. But then you can start building parlays because they're the king of that. You can start looking at some daily promotions or boosted odds specials because they're the king of boosted odds specials. And then you can start looking at their live lines. They're also the king of live. Look, BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks for a reason. So find out why by downloading the app or going to BetMGM.com. And once again, when you do, enter the code PatEgan100. You'll win $100 by betting just $1 on tonight's matchup, Phillies or Reds. And when the first ball leaves the yard, you're going to wake up the next day with $100 in free bets. It's only at BetMGM. The king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone who knows a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show and Bob's dancing. It's brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. I feel like it's my honeymoon again. They were playing one of the 8 reggae songs over and over again at Sandals. Over and over again all week long.
Yeah, we went to Jamaica one time and it seemed like that's all they did. Or no, we were in the Bahamas. We were in the Bahamas.
But they still played
it. And it was just
actually
like
you were
song over and
you
over.
Were just
I wasn't
Jersey
even
Shore.
There. Somebody told me about
Jersey Shore.
Went from Jamaica to the Bahamas and next thing you know, it's I was actually just in King of Prussia.
You go to Sandals and it's we're jamming. By the time you go home the next week,
you're not jamming
you're
anymore.
Hearing it all the you're just,
exactly.
You're hearing it constantly.
Yeah.
It's almost like no, it's not like that. I was fascinated yesterday, as I am many days, by a discussion that Cuz was having on Cuz Radio here on The Fanatic with Kevin Negandhi from ESPN and Temple University Proud. They went off on a tangential conversation about the Eagles 2021 season where Kevin, I think, was sort of depicting he was believing Coach was being this Cuz was being this ultra-optimistic Eagles fan. And Cuz was like, I'm not ultra-optimistic. I'm just excited that football's back. So they get on this tangent. And Anthony said, why am I excited? He described the Eagles season as a new book from a writer that you have read in the past. And Kevin immediately took that author analogy and he said, yeah, but I've read the books that this guy's written and the last two sort of sucked. Like, weren't very good. He took it that the author meant Howie Roseman. I'm listening in my car in excruciating traffic as they pave two lanes on the Schuylkill at the same time, which makes no freaking sense when there are three lanes, but that's another issue altogether. Pave one lane, then pave the other. That's something.
You're back.
So I'm listening to it, and as I'm listening to Cuz Radio in my car in their discussion, I'm hearing Kevin think the author's Howie Roseman, and in my head, I'm saying the 2021 Eagles, the author of that story to me, is Nick Sirianni. And I've never read a book from Nick Sirianni. Then Anthony gives his thought and perks up to Kevin and says he sees the authors as a collaboration of Lori, Howie, and Nick as the authors. And I was absolutely amazed that the same thought process, the same analogy that Cuz drew, Cuz saw one thing, Kevin saw it as another, and me listening in my car saw it as a complete another. I wasn't seeing it as either one of them were. And that's really good discussion and compelling stuff. So let's try this out in here. I say, if someone tells me that the 2021 Eagles season is a book that I'm picking up and I want to voraciously read. I'm so excited to read it. When I see author 2021 Eagles, I see Nick Sirianni. What about the crew? And that's where we start the 7 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, with Pat Egan, with the coach, Eric Camille. Mike Heavy Chevy is directing the broadcast on twitch.tv and YouTube. And we've got Tom answering your calls, only your good calls, at 610-632-0975. If you get by Tom today, you have got like by the bouncer in a great club. I mean, Tom is all over it. But if you have a thought on this, as far as this author, I'd love to hear from you at 610-632-0975. Bob, a guy who is a wordsmith, a writer yourself, if you're picking up the story of the 2021 Eagles, who do you assume when you see author at the bottom of the cover?
Yeah, it's funny. I thought about this so long when you proposed this to us last night. All that kept popping into my head is author unknown.
Okay, that's interesting. Now that's a fourth answer.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think when we're done reading the book after this season, we'll know who wrote the book. But right now, I don't have a belief of who the author is of this season yet. I just don't.
That's interesting, because that's a fourth answer that I didn't
now,
even assume on.
If you want to say this one has to be the author in order for this to be a successful season, or not even successful season, in order for this organization to look like they're doing well moving forward, yes, it would have to be Nick Sirianni. No question about it.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that the 2021 Eagles story is being written by Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm foolish.
No, you're not foolish. No,
I could be. I could be, because Nick Sirianni, I just do not, nothing about this guy says puppet to me.
No, it
doesn't.
Nothing
about his swagger, his answers, his otherwise says puppet to me.
I will say, let's go this way then. I will say, I don't think the author of this season is going to be Howie Roseman and or Jeffrey Lurie.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a collaborative effort or an individual effort by either one of them to be the author of this season. I would say the pen is on the table. And everybody knows, okay, somebody has to write this book, but I don't think they know who the author is yet either.
You pick up the book, Pat. Whose name is there as the author?
So I think it's going to be Nick Sirianni. I think the best case for the Eagles, though, is that it's Jalen Hurts. Because if he authors this season, he just proved that
he's
the guy.
Okay, there's a fifth answer. Now, if you heard Cousin Kevin having this discussion, I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but if you heard that, would you have been in your head going, no, I think Hurts is the guy? You think Hurts is the guy?
Well, I would hope that Hurts is the guy. If Hurts is authoring the book of the season, you got to figure then that means he's going to be here for the next season and the next. Because
what
the story is going to be
a terrible book?
Well, the story's going to be, at that point,
nobody reads it.
Yeah, nobody reads it.
No, the thing is, though, is the 2021 season could be a terrible book, And he could be the author of it.
No? I looked at it more of, okay, if he's authoring this hypothetical book, then he is the storyline. And the storyline isn't necessarily how bad he was. The storyline is, okay, we have our future franchise quarterback. We found it. We don't have to worry about that in the draft. If he's bad, then it's probably going to bring down the entire offense. Team's going to lose a lot. There's going to be other storylines there. But if he's good, he just solved the big problem that most teams in the NFL have, your franchise quarterback.
I will tell you this. If you said to me January 25th, the day after, I'm a geek, I know the dates. That January 25th when we did the show that Nick Sirianni was our first chance to respond to Nick Sirianni being hired as the head coach. If you had said to me, he never hesitates to answer anything.
Right.
And to me, that tells me, Bob, he's not thinking about what he says. He's just speaking because he doesn't have to run it up the flagpole. He understands what his plan is. When somebody has to be politically correct about an answer, you'll see me. The YouTube people see me do it because sometimes I'll look at the YouTube chat and they'll go, John was very uncomfortable with that. He was really uncomfortable with that right there. And the other day, I got caught on it with the Roy Halladay thing. I don't want to crap on somebody's name or otherwise when they have a big moment. Like someone goes in the Hall of Fame. I hate it when you're like, oh, God, that guy got in the Hall of Fame. He had a crappy career. Like he wasn't good enough to. Like, I hate when people do that because it's just like, come on. Can the guy have 48 hours of just a thing? But the other day, going back and seeing what the YouTube folks were saying on the chat, they caught me. They could see me uncomfortable about the Roy Halladay conversation. Because I purposely was not talking about on the air that I felt I don't believe his number should have been retired. And I don't think with a lot of Phillies fans that's a popular opinion. But I didn't want to crap on the guy the day after his number got retired.
Sure.
You know, but we got into the discussion and I said it. I don't believe his number should have been retired. So sometimes Nick Sirianni never hesitates, Bob. He just speaks. He doesn't, it's not like he's trying to think, okay, what did Howie tell me I was allowed to say? He just speaks.
Yeah, he does, and I think he's in a comfort zone now. The uncomfortableness that he showed in press conferences at the beginning of the season, like I said before, was because he had to look into the future of what he thinks may happen or what he hopes may happen, and the excitement came out. Well, now everything's right in front of him. He's got a game under his belt. He has a bunch of practices under his belt. Now it's real. Now he can talk about what he sees, and he's honest about everything, and I do like that. And if you're talking about a book, it just popped into my head. You know how books are written by Shaquille O'Neal, say, but written by John Kincaid. Yes. This is going to be a season by Nick Sirianni, but written by Jalen Hurts.
Kevin sends in an email and he says, author Nick Sirianni, publisher, editor Howie Roseman, which could be part of it.
Yeah,
editor gives me the creeps.
I don't want Lori or Roseman to have their fingerprints much on this book of the season. This season has to be about on the field stuff.
Is there an illustrator?
Yeah, good point.
You need pictures in the book, Pat? Yeah.
Well, I prefer them.
Here. I just pulled up our YouTube chat here. Let me see. Here is Robert B. says you can't replace writers. So Hurts and Sirianni can't be writers. Sirianni's not being replaced this year. So he absolutely can be the writer. Jalen Hurts could be replaced. Can absolutely. And
I see absolutely no way, barring injury, that Jalen Hurts is replaced at all this season. No way at all.
Nope.
I don't care if he's horrible. If he's, you know, if you need to win a game and he's bad and it's late in the fourth quarter and it's close, no. Because he is the puzzle piece that you need to figure out this season. And I'm not just talking about this season. I'm not talking about 4 minutes to go into a game. Jalen Hurts, what happens with him this year is the future of this organization. You have to see him in every single situation. And there's no reason to ever remove him from a game barring, again, injury or you're losing or up 55-0. But other than that, he gets every snap every day.
I don't know who this Robert B. is, but he's really interesting.
We say Robert
on our
B.
twat, Rob, on the
on our twat. Twat.
On our what?
He's on our twat.
You say that
twat.
One again.
Wow. On our chat.
Wow.
He says Sirianni is a character to the story, like a John Ryan.
Hmm.
He sees him as a. To me, that means he's in. He's not an act. He's not the leader. And Nick Sirianni, to me, is the leader. Michael Berry asks, is there a ghostwriter?
Yeah,
and,
M. Night.
And a lot of people are wondering about that, too. So
could be.
We'll see. If you have a thought, you can share it with us at 610-632-0975. Sketch wants us to be talking about the Sixers Summer League last night.
Didn't watch a second.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
Sketch is like, wake up. Let's talk about Sixers Summer League. Sketch, I'm going to just say that talking about Sixers Summer League.
Isn't Sketch like a miserable little bitch or something like that?
No,
isn't he always
Jesus,
that?
Bob.
I don't believe
did I say that?
Yeah, no, and he's not. He's a nice person who donates to charities.
He was miserable last week.
No, he was. I don't believe. Oh, you may have been
Sketch.
At one time.
I think Pat said it all fair to me that he was a miserable.
No. Oh, okay. No, so you're going to say that.
No.
What you just said on air, and then you're going to throw me under a bus.
Sketch's like, hey, John, wake up.
I'm kidding, guys.
Wake up. There was Sixers Summer League last night. Sketch, let me just tell you this. If you were running a sports radio station, it would be out of business.
Well, and
you know what? The Phillies are in first place. The Eagles just had their first preseason game.
But you know what, guys?
We're leading today with the Sixers Summer League.
In fairness to Mr. Sketch, we're talking Summer League, which doesn't count, and we're talking Eagles, which doesn't count. The man, I think, has a slight
we
point.
We are 3 months to the opener.
Okay, well, you have a point.
And we actually saw players in the Eagles game that are going to be major participants in the season.
Well, Maxey should be a major participant.
Boy, yes. Okay.
He dropped, I think, 39?
Go on. Against?
Summer League teams?
Correct. Against guys who will most likely be, half of them will at least be.
Why do you hate
G League? What is it? Will they be, will most of the guys that play Summer League end up G League? The majority be G League?
Yeah,
by the way, there are some good players in G League.
Oh, God, there's a lot of good players
that are
in G League.
Trying to crack their way in.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. We can all look at that Sixers team that they're putting in the Summer League and say, okay, Maxey's going to be on the team. You're still looking at B-Ball Paul to see what he is and different guys that way. A couple here and there. Like, yesterday was such a great sports day, and it started at 1 o'clock. I went over to my buddy Rock's house. We watched the Phillies together. So 1 o'clock, you had the Phillies. 7:15 Field of Dreams baseball game. I don't know if you guys hit on that. That hit me in the feels, man. That was so fun and good, and it was great. I love that game. So watch that, and then you had Eagles at 7:30, and then you had Sixers and Union last night at 9 o'clock. So I didn't watch.
I couldn't make it through.
Union was on at 10. I didn't see any of the Sixers, but I did watch. I watched the whole Union game.
Hey, if you want a job that gets you more, join UPS. Warehouse workers earn up to $24 an hour after bonuses. You can apply now at upsjobs.com/Philadelphia. That was for the guys in the Summer League in case they don't catch on with the G League team.
Yeah.
You catch on with UPS. So, your Union update with Bob Cooney.
Yeah, they lost 2-0 in the pouring rain down in Mexico. It reminded me of like a high school game where you go into a gym and you say, wow, there's not much way that you can beat this team. Let's hope to keep it close. At one point, I think possession was 88% for Team America over the Union. It was just, it wasn't there to be had last night.
As Jim Curtin told us last week, it's the experience that. It's the experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And you have to go from, you're going from playing in that match to playing in one against an opponent in MLS. It's got to feel like the game's at half speed.
Yeah, I feel like going from FC Toronto to that team.
It's a step up.
There's a gap there, a talent gap for sure.
Yeah, it was noticeable.
The fact that he only gave up 2 goals, though, that's got to be a big deal, right?
Yeah, they have the best goalie in MLS, and Andre Blake.
Yeah, and the first one was a deflection, a hit off of a defender's back from on the Union, and so Blake actually had no chance at it. But it was one of those games that we've all seen, and you could say Yeah, they're not going to get this one.
Hey, Ken in Lumberton joins us on the Fanatic. How are you, Ken?
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, I think it's going to be a choose-your-adventure book. After watching it last night, I think that right now Nick Sirianni has writing the book. But if the doors start to fall off, I think somebody's going to get in his ear and eventually start taking the reins over. I think that's what happened to Doug.
Well, hopefully that's not the case. I like the choose-your-adventure book, Pat. You're probably a big fan of those back in the
day. I loved it. I felt like I was in control.
Were you the pop-up book guy?
Of course. Well, who doesn't love a nice pop-up book?
I did not like the pop-up.
I was reading a book that made it pop-up.
Look, this idea of just opening up pages with words and that is it.
And it's flat.
You know, we're in 2021. We can do better. Pop-ups, choose your own adventures, picture books.
I did not.
Coloring books. There's other options.
What was the last book you read, Pat?
The book on the process. Trust Tank and the
Top. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And?
Cool.
I loved it. Yeah.
I loved it.
Loved it.
The pop-up book of Hansel and Gretel. There was one in our house as a kid, and the pop-up book, you actually had the witch trying to put Hansel and Gretel into the oven, freaked me the hell out. It was this old pop-up book with a crazy witch, and you could, like, the witch would be trying to shove the kids into an oven.
That's
who came up with this satanic crap?
Well, the pop-up...
And thought that it was good for kids.
The pop-up book for Hunt for Red October... Was
I didn't
pretty,
realize that.
Pretty jarring and eye opening.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there one for Air Force One?
No.
Seriously, I didn't know.
It's a movie.
Pat thinks that the Phillies' future is something that is now a little cloudy, or something that a lot of us have assumed for a long time.
If the DH is implemented in Major League Baseball, who have we assumed is going to be the DH for the Phillies?
Reese Hoskins.
I no longer think that Reese Hoskins should be the DH.
Tell me why.
I think Alec Bohm should be the DH.
Is he
because
good?
Alec Bohm is brutal in not only third base, but he had a costly error yesterday or the day before. I apologize. I don't think he can play the field at all. I think you have to hide him. I think all he needs to focus on is hitting. Reese Hoskins is not great at first base. He's not a world beater. He's not going to win a gold glove. He's not Mark Teixeira.
Right.
But he's serviceable enough where I'd rather, like, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather have him at first base than Alec Bohm coming into spring training after a down season, having to learn yet another new position and focusing on that more than getting his bat right. So if they implement the DH, I am now switching stances and going, Alec Bohm should be DH. Reese Hoskins, you stay at first base, and they find someone to play third.
Bohm is struggling at the plate,
I
too.
I either want Bohm that he can play the field, or I want him the hell out of here.
I'm still of the ilk of he's young. Give him another year. Look,
fine with that.
He has to work on his fundamentals at third base. There's no question about it.
Terrible.
And look, I don't mind if he doesn't have range. I don't mind if you know, he's not that guy that's barehanding two hoppers off the plate and throwing guys out across his body. Just pick your spot, have a radius of like 5 feet, and make sure you gobble everything up that comes directly to you. I'm okay with that if he's going to give you the kind of hitting like Larry Boas said last week, that he thinks he could be a 285 hitter and hit maybe 25 home runs. If I get that out of my third baseman and he's limited in the field but not killing you in the field, I'm okay with that.
He gave up 7 bases, as Michael points out, chatting with us, that 7 bases, Alec Bohm, last weekend against the Mets alone.
Yeah, you can't do
against
that.
Against the Mets alone, he was 7. He's terrible. I mean, it's not that he is subpar.
He's brutal. No, he's a pusher. And you can deal with it if he's giving you what Larry Boa talked about, Bob. Great point. But when he's not giving you that.
Right.
And when he's doing what he's doing this season, on top of the fact he's a butcher in the field, you know, it's like you can deal with a girl who isn't the best looking, but has an amazing personality. But if she's miserable and she's not bad and she's not attractive, what are we doing here? That's Alec Bohm right now.
What about our female listeners? What would they have? If the guys,
our female listeners are gorgeous.
Alyssa and Natalie.
Yeah, if the guys would be
top notch.
If they're me.
If the guys are you.
If the guys are me, what are we doing
but
here?
But you're rich. Are they willing to put
up
with you?
No. My bank account says LOL.
Are they willing?
So basically, I think what we just solved is I'm Alec Bohm right now.
Oh, man. That was just... It's Alec Boehm. And again, I'm not out on Alec Boehm. But either Alec Boehm learns to play the field, or I want him the hell out of here. I don't want him as the DH.
Any reason?
Not productive. He's not productive enough.
But do you think he can? I think he can grow into being productive enough.
To be a DH now?
Yeah, he's still super young.
See, Hoskins
is going to be 31 next year.
A year and a half into his Phillies career, did you not feel extremely differently about Rhys Hoskins? I did.
A year and a half? No, it was what happened. Because he started off 17, you know, that stretch. God. And the next season,
yeah, but his numbers were still. He was to me, he looked like he belonged at the major league at bat more than Alec Boehm does. At least to me.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Boehm's having a sophomore slump, no question. But I'd rather have him focus on the bat than.
By the way, we talked about that before. We've had the discussion a couple times in the four. Is that's a myth in baseball?
What is
the sophomore slump?
Why is it
it's
a myth?
It's not because it's not. For every single sophomore slump they can point to, an ascending player.
Sure.
They can point to it's just a sophomore year. Some players go up, some players go down. Hopefully, this won't go down too much more because this has been a bit of a problem. What has been consistent for you? Because consistency matters. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. It is week 6 of the John Kincaid Show Golf Tour, which is presented to you by MontcoGolf.com and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board. This week's featured golf course, Raven's Claw Golf Club, 5 minutes off Route 422, minutes from the Philadelphia Premium Outlets in Limerick. Raven's Claw is a public course that was built in 2005, and it is awesome. Absolutely great. Raven's Claw almost never closed to wet weather due to the fact that they have worked on their drainage, and it is fantastic. They've been recognized by Golf Digest as one of the top new courses in the United States, and Golf Week ranked them in the top 10 in Pennsylvania. So after a round, grab a break at the grill, eat on the deck overlooking the 18th hole. Raven's Claw Golf Club is our number 6 hole on the John Kincaid Show Golf Tour, presented by MontcoGolf.com and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board. You can check them out at 975thefanatic.com/golf tour. Find out more about our great courses. Book a tee time and tell them that the show sent you.
975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for making the John Kincaid Show part of your routine. We do appreciate you every day. Those of you who listen on the app, if you're streaming on your app, we love you. Those of you who are listening every day on terrestrial radio, those of you who dial us up at 97.5thefanatic.com and play us through your computer on the live stream, like Doc does that too. So whatever it is, we appreciate every time
we
get
say
a
Doc.
Chance to listen. He's not up right now. I'm sure he's probably not up. Hey, by the way, take advice from Devon Givens. Devon Givens, trustworthy, right, Bob? We listen to Devon.
I trust Devon with my life.
Well, there you go.
In all honesty.
Well, he says for low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s, you want to visit GraceAutoPA.com, Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, just minutes from Northeast Philadelphia. And from Trenton. Interesting story. So Major League Baseball is getting a lot of applause today from a lot of the press for the Field of Dreams game last night. And I got to tell you, Bob, the visuals of it, that was a made-for-TV event, like sort of cool trick thing. Was really, really cool.
It was awesome. I don't get caught up in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you well know, I'm
right.
Kind of a feet-on-the-ground guy. I that was awesome. It almost bit into my Eagles watching last night. I was so into that game and all the surroundings of it.
Pat, you were enthralled?
That game could not have ended any better for Major League Baseball.
Right.
I mean, everything was perfect, really. The only thing better would have been if he took his shoes off after hitting the home run and walked around barefoot.
Now, you know what's interesting, though? So we all thought that's really, boy, it's amazing. It's exciting. It's different. Did you hear from White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson and some of the press covering the White Sox? The one player on the roster under the age of 26 has seen Field of Dreams.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Now that's what we say because we're older.
I'm 32.
So this is, but this is 26-year-old Major League Baseball players. One of them that participated in the game has ever watched Field of Dreams. It is a 32-year-old movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's disgusting.
That's because we think, God, you have to see Field of Dreams. It's this.
You do.
But baseball, again, they threw an event last night and it was awesome. They did a great job. But it catered to people 35, 40 to 70. 75. It didn't cater to building a young audience, which is what baseball is lacking. They did an event. They did a great event. But it caters to the older. Baseball is the oldest demographic in sports. And that when you're celebrating a 32-year-old movie, this is what it does. Of the players in the game, one under the age of 26 had seen Field of Dreams. They're like, oh, yeah, this is great. We're playing in a cornfield. They weren't like... they weren't even getting all the references. Tim Anderson says, I've never seen the movie.
That's disgusting.
I can't relate. I'm not interested in watching that. But it's just interesting to see the younger baseball players. Like, yeah, Field of Dreams. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
It's awesome playing in a cornfield.
I hadn't thought of that last night. Kevin Costner walks out of the cornfield. Like,
they're going, Kevin Costner, the guy from the Cowboy show?
The guy from Waterworld?
Exactly. Like, I mean, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Costner's what, like 66 years old now, so he
yes.
Yeah, a lot of the play. But it was cool that when the players came out of the cornfield, some of them did look over and went over and shook his hand, probably, you know, people sure. that have seen a lot of his movies. But I'll tell you what, as a marketing thing, as whatever, however you want to label it, that was one of the neatest things I've seen in sports in a while. As far as nothing, I'm not talking about the game actually
the
being
neat
played.
Part of it, yeah, playing in a corner. I mean, it was exciting.
I'll
that's
tell you,
it.
You know, and the story of the movie for the because we have a younger listening audience also. You know, it's about finding his father and his dreams and all that stuff, and it'll hit you in areas like John and I have lost our fathers, and you know it'll go a long way towards that. But it's just an excellent movie about baseball also and the love of the game. So in that respect, you're exactly right, John. I didn't even think of it how it's catering to an older audience.
I mean, look, it's like one of our who I'm trying to see is
while you find it, I'll say I hear the book is actually is better.
That the book is better?
No, it's based on a book.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Show. Oh, yeah. Show.
Ryan says
the book's amazing.
And it was written by
Kinsella.
Exactly.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, exactly.
Bruce Kinsella wrote it?
No, Kinsella. Oh. Yeah, his name's not
Ray Kinsella, but it's a Kinsella.
Hey, Ryan, yeah. Ryan says, I think you're wrong, JK. Field of Dreams is timeless and passed down from generation to generation. Okay, Ryan, you can think I'm wrong on this, but the players who played in the game.
Well, that was
them. Only one of them had seen it that was 26 and below. Only one.
That's bad parenting. That is bad parenting. No,
they
yes.
don't care.
Yes, it's bad parenting.
Like you said yesterday, who was it that didn't know Allen Iverson? Look, I'm not, it's, you can think my opinion is it on or wrong. It's written here. It's just players in the game going, I've never seen the movie.
It's bad parenting.
But they're all like, this is cool playing in a cornfield. This is exciting. I've never seen the movie,
so
but it's exciting.
Yeah, as much as they're, as you've so well put it, that it's catering to the older audience, it's also, I think, trying to bring that young audience in to the game of baseball, to the history of baseball, to what baseball at its core pretty much is. I wish to God last night, I'm not kidding you, I was sitting there, I said I would love to be sitting in the stands with my kids right now in Iowa. I think that would have been
awesome.
One of the most special moments ever because they are fans of that movie. I was really moved by it last night. Now, I'm not that kind of guy, really, as Coach hates when I say that, but I was moved by that last night, and I couldn't get enough of it.
By the way, you've heard of anti-vaxxers. Well, my brother's an anti-texter. Doc is up.
I knew he was
Doc
up.
With the text
Doc
saying
already texted me
he's
earlier.
He's up and listening.
He said, tell my J.O. brother I'm up.
He is up and listening.
Thank you.
So Doc's already listening this
Doc's
morning.
The man.
There you go. So the Phillies have made it to mid-August, and they're in first place. So this question came up. Vince Pellegrini and I were talking a little bit yesterday. We talked more business than we did baseball, which was strange. We had a good time with that. He's got a brilliant mind for business, that Vincent Pellegrini. The people in the YouTube chat should gravitate towards him. He's brilliant.
Going to have some beers with Vincent next weekend.
So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. What has been consistent about the Phillies all year long? And when I ask you that question, every answer that I had about what's been consistent about the Phillies has been, every one of them is a bad answer.
Okay, then I'll give you a good one.
Okay, give me a good one. That's a great way to do it.
Ranger Suarez.
Well, I mean,
he's been, whether it's been bullpen, long relief, or now as a starter,
he's been consistently good. Surprisingly good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, that was fun yesterday.
It was fun seeing him get over 12 and a half outs.
Yeah, and he got 13 outs. How about that?
It's my guy right there,
now,
Ranger.
Now, I started laughing out loud when he was taken out of the game and there was 13 outs.
My friend Matt Cullen out at the Park Sportsbook, I think Matt, after hearing my analysis yesterday of setting the number at 12 and a half, he's willing to maybe slide me in there up there and see if he can use me. So
nice.
Because that was a great line set of mine. 12 and a half outs, he got 13.
Way to go, John. Don't hurt your shoulder on yourself.
No, I mean, I bet the under.
Did you?
So
really?
I would have lost.
Yeah, you
would have. I bet the under. I thought he'd get 12, and Pat and you both bet the over. So there you go. He got 13 outs yesterday. Ranger Suarez is a good answer, Pat. So what am I doing, though, when I'm watching a Ranger Suarez start, though? And so Vince and I are out baking in the heat, and I'm counting pitches. I'm saying, oh, man, he just went seven pitches in that at-bat. That was an eight-pitch at-bat. I'm worrying about pitches.
Yeah.
Because of that. Knowing that it's going to go to the bullpen.
Knowing it's probably, he's probably at 80. I was surprised, actually. His first start, we talked about, he went 33 pitches, which I thought was a joke. I think we all agreed on that. The next start, they bumped him up to like 60-something. And then yesterday, he threw about 85 to build up the arm strength. When what's amazing is...
Yeah, but I'm really happy with that.
But what's amazing is Ranger Suarez is able in three starts to build up his arm strength to 85 pitches. And then you look at how they did with Spencer Howard by coddling and babying him. Never letting him actually build up an arm strength. But, yeah, I think next start you probably can go a normal starting pitcher pitch count.
Suarez had 82 pitches yesterday. So 82. So that means that next start he should be able to be pushed to 90.
Oh, I would think more than 200. That. No, 90, yeah, 95 to 100.
Like, yeah. Okay, but the thing is, though, they seem to be going in increments of like 10 or 12.
Well, no, I mean 33 to 60-something to 80.
Yeah. I'm happy. Good. Look, let's get him in there. Let's get him
they
in
need
there
him.
And let him have his chance.
Oh, especially with Eflin out?
Oh, my gosh.
They desperately need Ranger Suarez.
Boy, he was fantastic. Okay, that's a positive. He has been consistent.
I'll give you another
but
one.
But it hasn't been a consistent role.
Are you going to just hog the whole
go
conversation?
On.
Go ahead, Pat. What do you got?
Well, do you have anything to add to the?
No, go ahead. I'm going to listen to yours first.
It's
I have one.
It's the fig bar yes, that I got. The extra fig bar.
He's not mad at me. He's mad at the fig bar.
Coach gave me his extra fig bar.
No, Coach got two fig bars also.
You came in and said, Bob, would you like one?
By the way, neither one of you at your Beasley best. It would have been good. You could have taken the extra fig bar. Pat now holding up the second fig bar and opening it.
I don't even know if I'm going to eat it.
You just want to open it.
I think I'm actually a little full, Bob.
Are you just going to... he's going to lick it. There you go. Pat, Bob, what was yours so Pat doesn't squeeze you out?
No.
Every answer I had was negative, though.
I think mine would go on the negative side. I think, and I don't really love this answer, but I think it fits. Their inconsistency has been their most consistent thing.
That's the truth.
It really has, and they just won eight in a row. The realist in me, not the negative in me, the realist in me, because as I've said over and over again, I believe this is like a 500 team, thinks that they're going to lose probably 10 of their next 15, something like that.
Ooh. Oh, I don't see that at
wow,
all.
Wow, Bob. On a Friday.
I'm not being that. I just say... I do think this is a 500 team, as I said all year long, and I do think it balances out. The eight-game winning streak, I love it. I love the role that they're on. I love that win yesterday. As I said earlier, I thought it was a solid, solid win. But the realist in me, if I really believe this is a 500 team, which I do, believes that, you know, there's going to be some fall to this uprise right now.
Carter says to me on email, jumps right in on email, and he goes, Bryce Harper! And like 20 exclamation points. Bryce Harper, he's been consistent. I'm going, okay. So I'm just going to look at the game logs. I'm like, I see multiple stretches of two games without getting hits, three games without getting hits.
Oh, come
hits.
On, man. That's not fair.
Yes, it is. If you're
for
talking,
two games without getting a hit.
No. Multiple. It's like, it's Pat.
But that's
like,
baseball, though, John.
Multiple games?
If you're hitting 300 and you're an everyday
multiple
player.
Multiple games of
if you're hitting
streaks?
300 and you're an everyday player, that's pretty consistent.
Multiple games of it?
You can repeat multiple games all you want, and I'll still tell you.
I don't believe
what is consistent
that.
At the plate, then?
He's been streaky at the plate this year.
I think at the end of the season, when you look at a guy and you say, okay, at the end of the season, he hit 300.
No, that's pretty consistent. But a guy can get to 300, Pat, being streaky with streaks that are great.
I mean, he's on a tear right now, but
I think he's been pretty consistent.
600 at-bats, yeah.
There's a streak in April where he went through a three-game streak where he got seven hits in three games. Okay? His best streak other than that in April was three hits in seven games. He had a streak in May when he got six hits in three games. His next best streak in May was three hits in three games.
Well, who's the
he had a streak where he got seven hits in three games in June. His next best streak is three.
Let me ask you then, who's the most consistent guy in Major League Baseball? And let me look it up. Let me compare.
Who would you think would be the most consistent?
Hitter in baseball? Well, you know, it's funny. Let's go on the...
I haven't watched Bryce Harper season hitter. And said, man, he's consistent. He's consistent.
So give me a guy you do consider consistent.
And why would you give it? Because you would look up batting averages and say, well, I guess this guy is because he's hitting 330 or something. Like, if Bryce Harper winds up being a 300 hitter this season through 155 games, that's consistent. You don't just get that through riding a hot streak. It's 600. It's over 600 at bats.
No, I got you. But you can have a guy who goes on streaks where he's hitting 422 in a seven game stretch, and then he hits 200.
Well, then give me any name of a guy you consider consistent.
If he finishes the season at 300, it means he was consistently
Brantley,
three for
Frazier,
three.
The kid in Baltimore, Mullins. I'm trying to think of guys with big batting averages.
What's Turner at? Turner's at like 325, right?
He's in there. Ohtani obviously has a fantastic year. He's had a fantastic year at the plate.
I'll look up Turner.
Ohtani's like a 270 hitter.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
No,
but I don't say consistent at the plate. First of all, by the way, I think it's much harder for a batter to be consistent than it is for a pitcher. Zach Wheeler's been consistently excellent.
Yeah.
How did it take like 10 minutes into this conversation for one of us to name Wheeler?
Because that's where I was getting to is that I went to all these negative ones in the Phillies before I got to thinking to myself, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler's been damn consistent.
Yeah, he has.
The thing that's been the weird thing is when he does throw up a game that's mediocre. Even mediocre, that we might come in and celebrate with another hitter. I mean, excuse me, another player in the team.
Right.
But I think it's much harder to be a consistent batter at the plate.
So I'm looking at Turner's game log right now.
Okay.
And in April, and I'm not going to go through every month, but in April, at one point, he was 0 for 6 games. Then it was 0 for 3 games. Then it was 0 for 2 games. 0 for 2 games. And there's hits, obviously, spursed in there. But
still,
that gives you an idea of a guy who's considered consistent.
Have you watched Bryce Harper this year and go, man, he's been consistent? I haven't. I mean, maybe I'm being too critical.
I think you're being a little too critical. I mean, I'm not like...
Sure.
I'm not sitting there, you know, saying it's a guaranteed hit. But I also kind of expect him to get a hit, if that makes sense, because he has been dialed in this season.
I think Segura has been... If you're talking about a hitter on the Phillies, Segura's been the one who has been the most consistent. And I don't even think that's close. Is that wrong, though, Pat? Because in my head, that's what I think the answer is. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's hitting, you know, 310 this season. And let me real quick look at his game logs, because I'm sure he's, in April, he had an 0 for 5 game stretch right there.
So he had 5 games where he didn't.
He had an 0 for 5 game stretch in May. 0 for 3 game stretch in May. So it's about the same.
So he's been streaky, but he's a 300 hitter.
But that's the thing, like... I think in baseball, it's impossible not to be streaky.
I think with batters, it is.
I mean, it's a game of failure.
I think with batters, it is.
Well, yeah.
Pitching is not. I think pitching, we see a lot
That's half the game.
Yeah. We see a lot of consistent pitchers.
Oh, and with your question, we can't ignore batters, though, with that question.
No question.
You're with pitchers, it's if you're a starting pitcher, you're talking about a 33-game stretch. With hitters being consistent, we're talking over 600 at-bats.
Or a reliever.
Like relievers too. Sure. Yeah.
If you get a consistent reliever, have we had one at all? I mean,
Suarez was up until he became a starter. Suarez.
I can tell you this, now that the, I guess the effects of the, everything is worn off on Archie Bradley, Archie Bradley's been damn good.
He was really good yesterday. He was really good yesterday.
And I think efficient.
Yeah, he's what they wanted when they overpaid for him. It was an overpay. I mean, 1 year, $6 million.
And he had a tweet after the game that he was going to fire up some cheesesteaks to watch the Eagles.
That was
the Sixers equivalent of going out and overpaying for J.J. Redick. Like, they needed that.
World Coming Down says, I think Bryce is doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that's fair. Mr. Snuffy says, well, hitters aren't consistent. And that's why it's called an average. He believes that it's not consistent. That's why they have an average.
Snuffy
slams the door on this all. Snuffy just absolutely slams it.
I'll tell you what.
Nice job, Snuff.
That is real good. Oh, wait. What's it?
That's a great answer.
Trey Turner hitting like 290. No, he's hitting 317, Chris Miller.
He's hitting 317?
Yeah. Snuffy, that might be one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
It might be Snuffy's greatest moment.
Yes. Good for him. Way to go, Snuffy.
And you've had a few. Emphasis on few. But that was really one of them. That was a really good point. That was really one of them.
That was really good.
Great. Gotta love the Snuff. Again, what I think a grumpy gray cat. When I think of Mr. Snuffy, I figured that somebody would have a cat named Mr. Snuffy.
I can't wait to meet Snuff at
Snuff will be there at FanFest, I hope. Snuff?
Yeah.
Snuff, we want to meet you.
I have a picture in my mind of Mr. Snuffy. I wonder if it'll
By relate. The way, talk about meeting people. Let's just say we are also efforting a new idea of being able to meet you and ways that we can do that as a group that is being kicked around. So just stay tuned.
Coach. No stuff.
Uh-oh.
In Israel, it's illegal to bring a bear to the beach.
Coach, no stuff.
So
don't get any ideas there, Bobby.
You can't bring a bear to the beach. That's interesting. Because you want to bring your bear to the beach.
Bob's sitting there like, so the Eagles played yesterday.
You don't want to leave the bear at home, right? If you're going to the beach.
Well, the real question is, who brought the bear to the beach in the first place that started off this law? Like, who was the guy who said, hey, Winnie the Pooh, we're going for a nice Sunday?
You could be in, I believe it's...
get your beach tag.
I believe it's where the Braves Stadium is. There is a law still in the books that you must own a gun.
You must.
Yes. And they've never removed the law from the books. You must own a gun. You have to check. I think it's Kennesaw, Georgia. You must own a gun.
Not Kennesaw Mountain, Landis.
Well, Kennesaw Mountain, yes. That's Kennesaw Mountain. That is where the mountain
is.
And that is where, that's what he's named after.
Commissioner.
The Kennesaw Mountain. And it is a mountain. And in Kennesaw, you must own a gun. I believe the law, and they've never removed it from the books. And watching what's been going on back in my old city, I would suggest that that's probably a good idea, just for public safety.
Bob, your thoughts on bears in the...
People that name their kids after,
mountains.
Mountains and
Appalachian Trails.
Appalachian Trails and
cities. By the way, would you have any interest in doing that?
What?
Like hiking the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. We had a girl that used to work here, Lindsay.
It's months.
Yeah. Her boyfriend did it, her ex-boyfriend, did it for a long... He was gone for what, like
you have to be gone
5
for months,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you have going
on? Their relationship didn't last.
If you're an adult, how can you do
that? His loss. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
How can you do that?
You're not
bumping into a bunch of CEOs on the Appalachian Trail is what I'm figuring.
I wouldn't want to.
You're not bumping into a bunch of like quantum physics doctors.
No,
that are
I don't
out
think
there
so.
Doing
think
unless they're retired.
A lot of patchouli.
I think that's probably the guess. Hey, we've got our reactions to what went on last night, and thankfully it hasn't been overreactions. Thanks for being up early with us today. Even you, Doc. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know, the Park Sportbook is the official sports book of the real sports fan. And one of the things is with golf going on, is betting on golf matches before the match, after the match, during the match, trying to look ahead to the next day and figuring out which guy's going to get on a hot streak is fun. The baseball is fantastic, though, because you can bet on individual player performances and you can bet on money lines for games. And the money line consistently shifts. So let's say you're out to dinner and you come home and the Phillies game is already in the third inning and you say, ah, I didn't take my Park Sportsbook app out and place a wager. You're not too late. The money line constantly shifts. You have an opportunity to jump in on the game and you know where the value is if your team falls behind and you think they can come back. Check out the Park Sportsbook app. You get a $500 risk-free bet too. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. And you can check out Park Sportsbook on Twitter for daily specials. You've got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you've got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Feel Good Friday here on the John Kincaid Show. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We're going to find out what Bob and Pat both dancing and now pointing fingers at each other and everything and doing a little. You guys are making me smile today.
Nothing puts a smile on my face more during this show than watching Egan bopping during the
I love this song. Music.
It's a great song. Absolutely great song.
Hey, let's just play the rest of it.
By the way, so we talked earlier about Field of Dreams and being 32 years and nobody knows what it is. Like, you know, the young players in baseball, of the guys who played in the game last night, under 26 years old, one of them said they'd seen the movie. So it was a thing. So during one of our breaks earlier, Coach was running the board when I guess the fig bar kicked in, Pat. I guess it kicked in.
Yeah.
It's a success.
No, it's Jesus.
And wow. So I don't know if Jesus had anything to do with it. He does, I guess, in the grand scheme.
I just peed, so I didn't pee myself okay. Like you did the one time, and we got the drop from it.
So, wow. So Coach is in there, and I said to Coach, I said, did you ever see 227? Because I asked him if the young lady on the Allstate commercials, I said, is that the girl from 227, who is, by the way, actress Regina King, who is an Oscar winner now, and also from The Big Bang Theory. You don't know who Regina King is. She was the daughter on 227.
She was on The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Regina King?
Yes. Regina King was a character in The Big Bang Theory. She was the HR director of the college where Sheldon worked.
I think less of her now.
She was excellent on there. She has great comedic timing, and she probably only appeared in maybe 10, 12 episodes.
I'm not mad at Regina King. I'm just disappointed.
She was great. But Bob didn't know 227. Coach didn't know 227. Pat, do you know 227?
No.
You don't know it either.
Do you? No.
I asked Bob if he knew Amen.
No.
It's the end of a prayer.
Coach, do you know Amen?
Bob's not wrong.
No.
Okay. This is where the same thing as far as like these are contemporary shows with Field of Dreams. And you guys are like, I have no idea.
Did you go out at all in high school or did you just sit home and watch TV all the time?
These are older shows.
Are they? Like when we were
young show, when you were in high school?
We were just out of college.
Wow.
So it's like, but the thing is, though, it's the idea is that things are timed to us.
Sure.
Whereas to the young people, they're like, no idea. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, so Field of Dreams is timeless, though.
Not to the players that play Major League Baseball, obviously.
I'm surprised.
It's timeless to us.
Yeah.
But it's timeless, you know. I said, sheesh. I mean, it was a little bit more. The front offices of the teams, my buddy Joe shares it with me, the front office of the team shared last night that Major League Baseball dropped the ball big time, as they should have requested the younger players to watch the movie.
Well, that's something I thought of when you brought that up earlier this morning, was if I was a manager of that team and you go into Iowa, you roll into Iowa on, say, Wednesday or whatever it was, I would have said, hey, guys, and maybe they did.
Now, they've heard of it. Now, the point is, the one writer in Chicago saying here is that a lot of the younger players said they've heard of it from their dads, and they have seen clips, and they all were able to identify, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Every one of them had heard that. Have you ever heard, if you build it, they will come? And so they all admitted that they've heard that. It's just odd. You know?
Yeah, if I was a manager, I would have had a movie session on Wednesday just to get them to have the feel of what it's about. It would have made the game even more special, probably, to these guys.
I would think that it would make it pretty, you know, it would have been a pretty exciting thing for you.
Yeah, look, you're a professional baseball player. You're going to get a little something out of that movie. Whether you liked it or not, you're going to get a little something, and then you're going on the field and playing.
And Anderson's like, I can't even relate. I'm 26. I can't.
Well, I think
I can't relate to it. I'm a star baseball player. He's like, I can't relate to that.
There are a lot of, at least for me, that was your first introduction to Shula Show Jackson, was that
wow.
movie.
Wow. Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. So the Eagles had their first preseason game last night. And again, I was so impressed by the fact that there was a team that looked prepared, that was had their executed well. So much of the Doug Peterson era, I will always remember, if I'm listing positives and negatives, is that the negative being is that the pre-snap penalties, the mental mistake.
Sure. Yeah, I never like seeing that, obviously. And that's something you can control. Can you control a player on the other team playing really well or doing different things? That's an in-game adjustment. But if you can have your team prepared both mentally and physically to go into a game, that's noticeable. And it was noticeable last night. I thought Nick Sirianni's team looked organized. They look, use the word again, crisp. I was impressed. I really was impressed. And look, you're looking more for it because he's a 39-year-old first-time head coach. But I was impressed with how they looked last night.
What did you think, Bob? You had an observation earlier that we didn't get to about your starting running back last night, which was a little bit different. Seeing Howard in the game, by the way, is 26 years old. That blew me away most of all.
Yeah.
If you had said to me yesterday on the show when his name came up, Jordan Howard, I would have said Jordan Howard is 28 or 29. He's 26.
Yeah. It became, yeah, and the announcers mentioned that last night,
thing,
too. Yeah.
But I would have guessed 28, 29.
It became apparent to me about four plays in that and this is just my feeling, why the coaches didn't have Miles Sanders in there. And it was about the fourth play of the game when Howard picked up a blitzing linebacker and picked him up. Not only picked him up, smashed him. Didn't let him get to the quarterback. I don't think they have a feeling that Miles Sanders is any, because they threw the ball almost the whole time that Jalen Hurts was in the game. They rarely ran it.
Yes.
So their game plan was, all right, we're going to let Jalen throw the ball, but we can't put Miles Sanders in there because he can't block. So this might be a little bit of a bigger problem than we know. He didn't play at all last night, and they said, oh, it's only because we decided not to play him. I really think it was because they decided they wanted Jalen Hurts to throw the ball, and they didn't want Miles Sanders to have to pick up
to
a blitzing linebacker. Yeah.
Yeah. And almost a wake-up call?
May have been a little kick in the pants, yeah.
I mean, you know
May
that,
have been.
You know that Miles Sanders wanted to be out there last night. Unless there's something that they're hiding from us. Miles Sanders would have wanted to play in that game. I mean, he's going to want to be there. A home game? Preseason? You're excited? Yeah.
Absolutely. My gosh.
I mean, just saying. Just saying, it seems like the dropsies may get you on the list of Nick Sirianni. And he's had the dropsies last year and then the dropsies.
I haven't thought about that. What Bob said, I hadn't thought about, you know, they didn't have faith in him. I kind of thought of it as, well, his position solidified. Does he really need the work? But what Bob said makes more sense than what I'm thinking. But that game last night was probably as perfect as you can expect from a preseason football game. They weren't injured. They got out unscathed. They looked the part. Everybody kind of did their role. It could have been cleaned up, but it could have been way worse. There weren't a lot of complaints coming out of last night.
Jack in Newtown joins us on the Fanatic. Jack, you're going off topic a little bit, but what are you talking about?
Alec Bohm, why he will never be what everybody wants him to be, and that's a good hitter.
Why will he not be? Do you have the answer?
Okay, yeah. Some statistics. In his career so far, he has one home run every 47 times up at bat. He has, for extra base hits, one every 7 times at bat. Whereas Rhys Hoskins has one home run every 16 times. He's 3 times better at hitting home runs.
Well, that's why he could be a DH.
Oh, yeah, but I don't want Bohm on first base.
He can't. It's Alec Bohm, but he can't be a your first baseman. Larry Anderson will have to be put in a rubber room, because Larry Anderson, as far as his commentary, is spectacular. But when Alec Bohm's in the field and just does some of his boneheaded stuff, LA is just gonna. He's going to lose it.
It's funny. The other
night, put your glove down.
Yeah. The other night I was in the car and Bohm was up and 3 straight swings and misses. And Larry Anderson was like, you couldn't put the ball on a tee any better. He was blasting him. I guess I haven't heard him. I haven't heard a lot. Usually I'm watching.
On Bohm's fielding.
Yeah, he must not be a Bohm fan.
Well, he just put your glove down. Just put your glove down. It's great analysis. Chris in Yardley joins us on the John Kincaid Show. Chris, were you impressed last night?
I was pleasantly surprised.
I like that.
I was, because I think, like most Philadelphia Eagles fans, I had a tempered view of what this game was going to look like. And I walked away from it at halftime and said, our starting quarterback, or at least for that game, actually looks like he has his crap together. Now, what I was really most impressed by, and it was good to see, was offensive line play, where you could see somebody as old as Joe Flacco step back, step up, and release. And that, to me, is a very good sign, because if we have the wide receivers that we have, and Smith can get healthy, and Watkins can actually run the way he's running, we may actually be better than the basement of the NFC this year.
I think, Chris, that's really measured. Because Chris isn't watching the first preseason game and going, man, this could be a playoff team if things break right. He's just saying, maybe they're not a basement dweller.
Yeah.
And maybe things are going to be better than I expect.
Yeah, nothing that we're saying today is over the top. Yeah, I was impressed that they were disciplined, that they looked pretty good last night. I was impressed with that. I am certainly not carrying that any further than just that. First impressions of a coach who was coaching his first game. That's all.
I mean, it's just, I don't think anybody's going, man, it's just this.
Yeah, we're not overblowing it, but what do you think the spread is going to be when the Eagles are in the Super Bowl this year?
Super Bowl, yeah.
I mean, they're going to be favored, by how much?
I think we saved that show. I think we saved that for a little later in the year.
They're going to end up being, and I think it's safe to say, I think we're all thinking it, so I'll just say it. I think they're going to be the first 17-0 team.
So you could have saved that for Monday when Bob's out. Why did you just waste a great topic like that?
Way to go, Pat. Okay, I'll dump it, and then we'll bring it back.
No one heard it.
There was one play last night where Pittsburgh ran a stunt, and Mailata picked it up. And it looked like his guy might get some penetration towards quarterback. Oh, my God.
He stands people
Mailata
up.
Mailata is like... He's like a mountain, and he just swallowed the guy up and didn't move. He planted a back foot, And the guy never moved.
And he's almost like a, I don't want to say dancer.
He's a dancing bear.
But his...
He's a
dancing bear, so you can't bring him to the beach in Israel.
No.
Good point.
You can't.
Good point. Us back to the...
And Coach knew that.
Coach, so I noticed on our YouTube chat, you got a bunch of people with a ton of slander for the Big Bang Theory, yet they all seem to be celebrating one of the most cliched, easy, like, laugh track shows of all time, Golden Girls. So they're bragging on Golden Girls and trashing the Big Bang Theory.
First of all, John.
Yes.
I will confirm that the Big Bang Theory was probably one of the worst TV shows ever on TV. And the slander is you coming in bashing the Golden Girls. Look, come on, man.
Now I'm getting pissed.
So now you're pissed.
Because you come on this airwaves. I've been here for 10 years. You've been here for 10 minutes.
That is the truth.
And you come on these airwaves and you slander B. Arthur, Betty White, and the other one. I'm not having it.
That's Estelle Getty.
No. Estelle Getty.
And
yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm not having it. Okay?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Bob, thank you for being a friend.
You're welcome, Pat.
Like, you don't do that here.
Wait a minute.
That might fly in Atlanta. You don't slander the Golden Girls on these airwaves.
I'm just finding it a chuckle fest to me that people are like, well, Golden Girls is like this amazing show, but Big Bang Theory is crap.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
you said it.
All right. Perfect. Stop there.
Had it settled.
Big Bang Theory probably
sucks.
3 to 4 times as financially successful. One of the most, it'll be one of the biggest syndicated shows of all time.
Oh, because Golden Girls isn't syndicated at all.
No, but Golden Girls.
It is.
Golden Girls had its 7-year run.
Sir, you sound foolish.
It had a cute little 7-year run.
With all due respect, you sound foolish.
I want to know, as Bob would say, how the hell were you seeing Golden? I've seen Golden Girls in reruns. How did these people see the Golden?
It's time for you to shut the f*** up.
By the way, I pull up here. That was Saturday night at 9 o'clock. It's Saturday night at 9 o'clock and our YouTube room's like, yeah, Golden Girls did.
Get off our show!
My gosh.
You're not finding any sympathy here, John.
Ask the folks on the Field of Dreams last night. If they watch. So you didn't watch Golden Girls either. I can't tell you about I couldn't tell you one Golden Girls episode. I can tell you who the actresses were because every one of them comedic gold as far as their careers in sitcoms.
Yeah, but my mom used to watch it. I guess my mom loved it.
Saturday night.
Well, I guess it was on syndication in the afternoons when I would get home from school or something like that.
I would watch it in syndication.
Okay, what was the show that aired after the Golden Girls?
Hard Copy.
No, that had Bert from Soap was on it.
Entertainment Tonight.
Bert from Soap was on it, and he was a doctor.
Cheers. Spin City.
That wasn't Cheers. It wasn't Spin
City. Just tell us when we hit it.
Spin City. Charlie Sheen replaced Michael J. Fox, right?
Yeah. Believe so.
And it was another show that Heather Locklear
Did David Spade replace him?
No, I think it was Charlie.
If only there was a website we could go to and search this stuff out.
And also, too, that was another show where they tried to bring in Heather Locklear to bail it out.
Well, we're about to bring in Heather Locklear to bail this show out if you keep bashing Golden Girls.
Okay, which...
She's out in the parking lot right now just waiting for the call from the pen.
Which television analyst in sports had a long, torrid affair with Heather Locklear?
Yeah, obviously, Harry Callis.
Harry Callis? Well, no, Jack Wagner did on Melrose Place. Bob, you're not even like... I love when Bob checks out. It is.
Bob did not sign up for this.
I just find it hysterical that you equate yourself to the most annoying TV character of all time.
I can't lie that's what my wife and daughter tagged me long ago as Sheldon Cooper.
Doesn't that bother you?
No, I love them to death and they love me too. So I'm fine with that. Rick Neuheisel.
They're saying that you're the most annoying TV character in the history of television.
Rick Neuheisel, by the way. Long time torrid affair through college with Heather Locklear. They were a college couple.
Yeah, and then Harry Callis came along and was Mr. Steal Your
and
Girl.
And he said,
golden pipes.
You're out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Take this advice from Devon Givens for low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s. Visit GraceAutoPA.com. Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. What made Bob almost lose his dinner last night? What was it? I think it was the heat.
No.
Okay,
come on. You guys have to guess this. It's the defensive side of the ball.
That almost made
I wonder
you...
if any listeners out there are on board with me and
so
screaming
Bob,
it at
there was something
at...
about the defensive side of the ball that made you.
It was one play.
Was it the prevent where they did the where they
played
the
Jim Schwartz last night on 3rd and 11
first quarter they did.
Yeah, and I swear I was sitting there and I'm going no.
Oh, God damn.
They played sticks last night on a 3rd and 11 play.
Well, come on, man.
And look, I'm not saying this is going to be, you know, exactly the way the Eagles are going to play defense this year or anything like that. But it did. I kind of looked and I said, no, please no. No, bring those linebackers up. Blitz. Do something different. Don't go sticks. And sure enough, they did.
I'm obsessed with Jonathan Gannon.
And you are.
I'm obsessed with Gannon since the day he was hired. And Gannon literally said last night he was not going to blitz. Because now it's one of those things where they talk about did they arrange this pre? He says I wanted to see guys in one-on-one battles and I wanted to see if we were going to get the push just with our front.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, so do I.
And used it as a
Their D line was impressive last night in winning those individual battles that you're talking about. And I agree with his philosophy there. I don't like to do schematic stuff. I don't like to see schematic stuff in preseason games. Like, save it. Win your individual battles. Let's do that. Let's see who you are, where you are against someone you haven't faced. I like that a lot. But when they went sticks, I was like, please no. And Jamie has said it, and he's true. Sticks worked. It did. As much as we hated it, when it was 3rd and 12, they didn't give up first downs. They gave up 11 yards and maybe let a team get in field goal position, which ticked us off miserably. But for the most part, sticks worked. But watching it last night in the first preseason game in the first quarter, I almost lost my dinner.
I don't think you're going to see
that. I had a delicious dinner last night.
What'd you have?
We made fajitas last night.
The fajita.
Ah, was delicious.
Not Scott Fajita.
A little leftover chickens, and then you cut up some peppers and fajita stuff. And
after Olivia's car accident news dropped and I saw the pictures of the car, I was like, okay, here's where you know. Stress eat. I walked over to the Bella Italia and got a cheesesteak. And was like, okay, Eagles game. The end of being out of the Phillies game, going to be able to Field of Dreams game, I'm going to watch. I'm going to have a cheesesteak. So I had a great, great cheesesteak.
I'm a bit of a foodie douche.
Not like that. That's just an everyman's place.
Okay.
Bella Italia in Ardmore is just a...
Sounds fancy.
Place. No. No.
Well, it's the Bella Italia.
Well, that's just the name.
It sounds fancy.
It's a spectacular spot.
It sounds fancy.
It's not fancy. It is the everyman's place where you want to go. And by the way, you get a great, great steak. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just a little heads up. And right there off Bong Boulevard. So if you got the munchies, you can wander on over.
Did you get the munchies last night, John?
It was stress eating. I saw that car totaled, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. I said to you this morning, Bob, I don't know how you do it with 4 children walking the earth.
No, the better question is, how do 4 children walk this earth with me as their father? That's the better question.
The anxiousness of watching that smashed, see in the picture. The minute I got the picture, I couldn't get it out of my head.
Yeah, I had a similar situation. I was in Miami, 8 o'clock in the morning. My wife calls and says Bobby was just in a bad accident. And he had my other son, Tommy, in the car with him. Not a great feeling. So I know how you felt yesterday. I was with you. That's tough.
Absolutely brutal.
But everything's good today.
Everything's good, right?
Right.
Everything's good today, and that's all that's important. So Nick Sirianni spoke extensively after the game last night, and some of the things that he said, absolutely awesome. We'll get to it next on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. It's the Park Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook partner of the real sports fan. Now, with baseball and a pennant race in full swing, you have the opportunity to every night monitor the game. Now, I had a gentleman say to me yesterday, what do you mean the money line changes? The money line changes during the game. Get the Park Sportsbook app, pick it up, look at it, and in the course of a game, if the Phillies fall behind and you think they're going to win, then you jump on board and you bet the money line, you get even better value. The money line is constantly shifting, pitch to pitch, batter to batter. It's amazing. You're going to love it. And what if I told you can get a $500 risk-free bet? download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. Or on Twitter at Parks Sportsbook. Get your daily specials. See the website for details. You've got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. And if you've got a gambling problem, please, I implore you, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Bum, bum, bum.
No, you don't get to do bum, bum, bum. Not after the slanderous nature you just had.
Alec, bum, bum, bum.
You would see.
Look at you. You just said, who is singing that song? Is that somebody famous singing that song? Or is it just the girl who sings the song?
It's, I think Khalees.
Khalees.
She did the song Milkshake.
That's very, I don't believe that's her. But that would be pretty amazing.
It's her early stuff.
You know what's great is he had, where is this here? I don't know who it is. I saw the comment. I just chuckled. Well, one of the guys in the YouTube chat's like, or ladies, because I can't tell if it's a guy or a lady by the initials. I can't believe your negativity. First, you're banging on Full House. Then you're ripping on the Golden Girls. That negativity out of you, it's just incredible. It brings it down. Dude, it's negativity because it's a show you like. Not what, Seinfeld? Cheers? I know. Oh, he'll probably hate Friends. He's probably one of those people. Oh, I hate Friends. Love Friends. So, I mean, there's a ton of shows that I'll be positive about, but it's just because it's a show you like.
It's time for you to shut the
please.
Up.
Enough.
Our perfect show just ended.
You and eight. What? You don't what? Are you one of those?
Our perfect show ends when you start bashing B. Arthur and the girls.
Are you one of those I can't do Friends? Are you
I don't like Friends.
So trite.
Don't like Friends.
Can't watch Friends. Can't watch Friends.
I mean, I admit it's popular, but I don't like it.
Can't do Friends. Friends is just not.
But I thought Golden Girls was something that could unite
that
us all.
Bond on?
And then you showed up.
No, can't bond on it. I don't know, but again, it's just as they could do. What can you say? Hey, the first place Phillies need to win a weekend series versus the Reds. Yeah. If you want to say you're a, if you want to really believe you're a first place team, you've got to go beat the Reds. You have to step up and find a way to beat the Reds. Because that needs to be done. You lost two out of three to the, you lost two out of three. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm going to say is that now win two out of three. That's what the Braves just did with the Reds. They took two out of three at home. Take two out of three. Just keep pushing the ball forward now. Because you're just trying to squeeze days off the calendar while the Braves have this easy nine-game stretch coming up. Well, that's what we talked about. Atlanta's nine-game stretch is simple.
That's what you explained to us yesterday.
But once
at the beginning of the show. So but, eloquently.
But once that's done, oh, it was terrible. That no, was it like word salad.
It was
word salad.
I honestly had a moment of, all right, Bob, pay attention. You're not getting this.
No, you were getting it.
I was like, wait, he's talking at another level. I'm just not understanding.
No. This nine game stretch that the Braves have with the Nats 3, with the Marlins 3, with the Orioles 3, is about as easy a nine game stretch on the road that you will ever play. It all goes to hell by the time the 23rd of August comes, because their schedule gets nasty from that point on. But for these next 9 days, and I've heard Mikey Miss talk about it in the afternoons, it's why Mike Missanelli believes 100%, not 99, 100, that the Phillies are winning the division, is all based on the schedule.
Yeah.
So don't fall behind during this stretch. Don't fall behind where you give them back two or three games.
No, the good thing is they are on the road. And that does take a little something away. No matter the opponent, it does take a little something away. So if they had those nine games at home that you just mentioned, John, I would totally expect the Braves to go 7-2, 8-1, something, you know, have a good stretch because they're playing good baseball right now. But 9 on the road is still 9 on the road, and that's what I'll take out of this as, okay, will they go 6-3? Maybe, but that's, I think, the best they're going to do. I think the best they can do in this stretch is 6-3, even though it's bad teams, because it's on the road. Now, you're right. The Phillies have to take care of this Cincinnati team before they go out on the West Coast after this weekend series. They have to take care of this Cincinnati.
Yeah, two out of three.
At least. Yeah.
See, now you're saying at least.
I'm not saying it's must-win baseball.
No, but
2 out of 3 at least.
2 out of 3, and then just move the ball. I'm trying to bleed out the calendar in this race.
Yeah.
Just as this 9-game stretch is where the Braves could say, we're picking up ground on the Phillies during this stretch.
Can't let it happen.
This is our opportunity to pick it up, because while the Braves are playing this stretch, there's a completely different stretch for the Phillies where they've got to be on the ball. They can't let it. While the Braves are playing the Nats, you're playing the Reds. Can't have it. While the Braves are playing the Orioles, you'll be playing the Padres next weekend. Now, you get 3 with the Diamondbacks. At the Diamondbacks, you better take care of business there.
Yeah.
So 3 of the Phillies games are not rough during that 9-game stretch. But in those 6, while you're playing the Reds and the Padres, don't give up 2 games.
No.
To the Braves.
No.
Don't give them an opportunity. Because this team, they're coming around. But after, if you can just get it to August 23rd, we can just come in that Monday. We'll be at the golf tournament.
Within 2 games, yeah.
If you're just right there, you're fine. You're at that point, just don't give back anything.
No.
And make sure that this team is set up. So Nick Sirianni talks last night. And it was on pregame, he made some comments that I thought were incredibly candid. He said he was asked by Ross Tucker what was his desire of what he wanted to see out of Jalen Hurts. And he said 2 things. I want to see the elimination of his pre-snap penalties, and I want to see consistency. And he mentioned consistency in his answer 3 different times. Consistency. So obviously Nick, again, Coach Sirianni, led us behind the curtain a little bit, that if he had a frustration with Jalen Hurts going into the game, it was he felt that Jalen Hurts was inconsistent from series to series. He only saw 2 series.
Right.
But I got to think Nick Sirianni's feeling pretty good this morning.
You know, I think they said something on the broadcast last night. I think it was during the game, or maybe it was an interview that they had, talking about every play breakdown with Jalen Hurts is given a plus or a minus. And Jalen Hurts wants every play to be a plus. I guess it was the guys on the game. And on one play, Hurts rolled out. There was nothing there. Rush was coming. He threw the ball away. And they said, that's a plus play. Although the play didn't get anything, it wasn't a minus play, so that makes it a plus play. I love that little breakdown.
I like it, too.
It sounds so simple. The simplicity of it, though, to me, is a real positive. Break it down into the simplicity of, look, you're probably going to make some spectacular plays, Jalen Hurts, because that's the kind of athlete you are. But look at each play as a plus or a minus, and have way more pluses than you do minus. And to Jalen Hurts' credit, he said, I want to have all plus plays, and knowing full well that throwing a ball away in that case is a plus play, because we didn't see that last year from number 11. That would have been a, let me try to make a play. Let me not throw the ball away. Let me take a sack. Let me fumble the ball. That's what we were seeing too much of last year, and I think Jalen Hurts is keenly aware of it.
That's part of his Saban upbringing, too.
Yeah.
Saban does not, negative plays, negative yardage plays, negative things that you can avoid. But that's also part of his football IQ. This guy's got a high football
IQ. He does. I'm really anxious to watch this kid this year.
When I saw him speaking yesterday pregame, they were showing a compilation of things from different practices, Pat. When I hear Jalen Hurts speak, I swear it sounds like he's 30, 35.
Yeah, he's got everything. We just don't know if he can be
the guy.
But everything else that you look for in a leader, on the field, off the field, talking to the media, he's got it. We just have that big question mark of, like, you can have all of that. Yeah, and it's the arm, reading defenses and all that. But what I loved about what Sirianni talked about
and it necessarily wasn't about Jalen Hurts, but the pre-snap penalties, you know, they're not going to admit it, and they shouldn't think this way. But this team isn't good enough to shoot themselves in the foot. If you can eliminate pre-snap penalties, that will go such a long way, because that was one frustrating thing last year I felt about the Eagles team, is not only were they fumbling the ball and interceptions and just boneheaded penalties, but the offense, you know, the false starts, and they were working with a makeshift offensive line, I get it, but it just seemed like they could not get out of their own way, and if this team can eliminate that, it will go a long way to them having success. Maybe not in the win column, but just success long term.
So we need everything to... Injuries is the biggest thing, because to me, it looks paper thin, the roster. Except for the defensive line.
Yeah, there looks...
It's paper thin.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about that. So as long as injuries, if I could fix that, if I could have the magic ticket where I could say one thing is not going to derail this season, it's going to be injuries. That's what I would hope for, because so many Eagles seasons have been derailed by injuries or had been held back.
No,
from
yeah.
What they potentially could have been, except the Super Bowl year where yeah. all hell broke loose.
Well, you're right. You're right that there is some thinness there, because you looked at some of the backups, the second stringers that came in, and it was like, huh?
What? Did these guys win our AACR contest? Did they?
Yeah, right.
They bid to be here?
You know, last night, it went a long way in convincing me of our outlook on the season is exactly right. And it's one of sit back and see what you have and analyze what you have and determine who you have moving forward is good and who you need to replace moving forward in order to be better. And it was all that. And it kind of went exactly in line. Like Pat's meh attitude of it is correct, because it kind of just fell in line with what we want to be. And I'm excited for a season of, all right, sit back and just analyze and not have a horrible Monday morning feeling after a loss, or, you know, euphoric after a win.
Isn't that your makeup, though?
Kind of, yeah. It does. It does fall into place with me.
Jamie's
welcome
not,
to my world, everybody.
And Jamie is not that guy. Jamie
Pat is not that guy.
And Jamie's polar opposite of you. Polar opposite. Like, if you're right now, I am going into this Eagles season, I am not in the least bit unenthused by the fact that I have no expectations of postseason. I am not in the least, that doesn't bother me at all.
No.
That, because I'm fascinated by so many different storylines, but so much is reliant on Jalen Hurts.
It is.
Proving that he's real.
No, you're right.
Get it done.
I watch games differently, and it probably sucks. Like, people out there might be saying, I'd hate to watch the games the way Bob does. And I understand that. I just to give you an insight, this is how weird I am. So when my son was a senior in high school, he hits a three-pointer to win the game. The only shot he took in the game. He wasn't a shooter. Only shot he took. He wins the game at the buzzer. Place goes crazy. Teams go crazy. I watch him to watch his reaction. Never took my eyes off him, because I was interested to see how he reacted in the moment. That was my story in my head. It wasn't, my kid won the game. It was, how did my kid react to winning the game? Because that's how what kind of person he's going to be in life.
Was it calm, cool, and collected?
I think Egan, did I show you the video before?
Yeah.
Did he just walk off?
And yes, it was.
Dude, you couldn't tell if he just got kicked in the nuts or he just won a game on a three-pointer.
But that is also...
Walked off the court.
Okay.
His teammates come and hug him. He didn't change expression.
Is Kyle the most Bob?
That's exactly how Bob would have reacted.
Kyle is the most Bob of your boys, if the DNA is strongest with Kyle? As far as makeup, as far as the makeup, the way he handles things, the way he carries himself, the way he does things.
Maybe. Kyle's the most like me in that we're similar in that way. Yeah, and maybe okay. That's why I can. But anyway, that's how I relate to an Eagles game. Like, if they win on a game-winning touchdown while people... And I love this. Pat, Jamie might be jumping up and down, hugging each other. I'm looking, and it's probably my background. I'm looking for that.
There you go.
How's Nick Sirianni reacting? How is this? What happened there? You know, it's
Nick
just
Sirianni
the differences.
Cool,
yeah, it's
night.
The differences in the way we watch games. You guys now, John, to what you said, you're going to watch games a lot like I always watch games this year.
Yes.
You guys are going to sit
See,
back.
I don't watch them like Jamie and Pat.
Right.
So I go into, maybe, yeah. I go into a seat. If the Eagles are going to start, if they have a seat, I actually find more pressure. I got to put better words on it. I actually find sometimes it's less enjoyable when it's a season where I'm saying to myself, Super Bowl or bust. I enjoy the season less.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because
exactly
then everything
what I'm saying.
Disappoints me.
Which is
every time the offense isn't clicking, every time the defense looks soft, I'm saying to myself, well, they're not going to get to the goal that I'm dreaming of winning a championship.
Right.
Whereas this year, everything I'm looking at seems to be, I'm seeing as a positive. That's a little more than I expected. That's a little better than I expected. So I don't watch games like, I can't go into seasons like Jamie. Like I can't. I
love it. I love
it. It's great because it's a good
exactly.
mix of people.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think there are more Jamies than there are you and I.
Oh my God. 98-2. 98% to 2%. Absolutely. There's more Jamies and Pats watching these games, these Eagle games and stuff like that. I'm not saying I'm right in the way I watch
right,
it.
Right,
it's
right.
just the way I do watch it.
And oh, I'm going to expose myself.
It saves me from the Monday morning grief, hangover, whatever of a game, which is nice for me. But I think this year a lot of more people are going to be like you and I the way they watch the games, John.
Hey, in Cooney's corner, he says there's a new rule that potentially is coming to the NFL, and he wants to play a little game.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
All right, I want you guys to blurt out the first word that comes to your mind. One word that comes to your mind, and Coach, you're
Doofus.
Included on this.
Moron.
Fig bar.
Two words.
Taunting.
Sorry. Ignorant.
Ooh, Coach, you go first.
It's supposed to be the first word that
ignorant.
Pops in your mind.
It's the first word that pops in your mind.
Coach.
When taunting.
Immature.
Okay.
Pat.
Fan.
All right, so the NFL is looking at how are they going to police taunting? You know, what are you going to do here? To me, it became simple. How about if you get 50 people in a room, NFL executives, and do the thing that I just did? When I say the word taunting, what first comes to your mind? And if 30 of those 50 say stupid, ignorant, whatever the word is, if it's negative, well, then get rid of it. Then don't have taunting. If 30 of the 50, like Pat, say fun, which a lot of people also agree that, like, why can you take that out of the game? It's just guys having fun. Well, then keep it. It shouldn't be all that hard. If you mention the word taunting,
what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Now, the one thing I would say is this. I always think sack dances are taunting. A lot of times. I think you're dancing on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. And you are usually doing something that is a look at me, look at me, look at me. But nobody considers sack dances to be taunting. And I look at them as a form of taunting.
Yeah.
You're celebrating over the top of the guy on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. You're not back with your team. You're dancing on their side of the field. And you're saying, you're showing off. So I consider that a form of taunting. So I wonder where they're going to draw the line, Bob.
Yeah, that's it. It's really interesting. And look, you know, we'll have the people that'll say, oh, taunting, there's no room for it. Just play the game and all that. I understand that. I was brought up that way. I was brought up to show no emotion. You play your ass off. Whether you get hit or whether you're hitting, you don't change expression. You just play the game.
So
and
you brought have the Kyle up that way then?
I don't know.
Even subliminally, if you were brought up that way, maybe Kyle heard that from you. Maybe, you know what I mean?
But yeah, Kyle's old enough. Like, I was still playing a lot of sports, and Kyle saw me play. So maybe I don't know, whatever. But I was brought up that way, not to show anybody up ever. You have your fun playing. That's why you're playing the game, because you have fun doing it. My fun never came of taunting anybody. Now, Pat's word was fun. And I understand that now, too. And baseball's gotten that way. So, Pat, where would you draw the line on taunting?
Well, that's baseball's a prime example. Like, I think when you hit a home run, usually that's fun, what they're doing. There are times, though, taunting, standing over a guy is a little much. But like a sack dance, I'm all for that. Celebrating a big catch.
But is that taunting?
I think it's more celebrating than taunting.
I always think of it being on the other guy's side of line of scrimmage that you're doing it. You're dancing over their quarterback.
Yeah, how do you come up with a line on this?
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really tough.
Different people, the pornography. I don't know what when they discuss pornography in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't think they played that music, man.
No, they did.
They did. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they did. And this is for a league, by the way, that is known as like the no fun league.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing that I saw a lot yesterday online, which was for the no fun league, you just got somehow less fun again. So policing, it's going to be really difficult.
It is. And it's really interesting to me how they're going to do that, because I am a guy, as I said, who was brought up with don't do it. Now I kind of enjoy it a little bit, but I don't like the over. I'm right there. I don't know where my line is either. I only know it when I react to it. But I'm not making the rules. And when you make the rules, there has to be a line.
Well, and
what could possibly be the line?
It's a great philosophical argument.
It really is.
And what I worry about, like when Jason Avant, every time, I think him for whatever reason, but every time he caught a ball, he put his hands up. You know, he kind of like shook his hands a little bit. And I didn't think necessarily that was taunting. That was more celebrating him achieving something. But I worry now that because there really isn't a line, that everything's going to get flagged.
Well, that's a great point. If I don't like it, it doesn't mean it's wrong. So if a guy catches a pass and gets up and gives a first down thing when he's down 35-0, just because I don't like it, I can't be Mr. Referee throwing the flag.
I hate it when it's 7-7 and guys do that.
Yeah, I mean, like the first down,
the Giants have a lot of guys that have done that.
It's going to be so interesting, right, John? How do you judge this?
Guess what? I know the NFL. I know they're going to screw it up. I know that they're going to screw it up. They're going to come out with rule. Then they're going to have to bring it back and amend it. And then come back.
Could you imagine that we're sitting here going, Major League Baseball actually might have gotten something right more than the NFL in terms of this topic?
Really, by letting it go.
Like, they've let it go.
Yes.
And the NFL is like, whoa, we can't have that much fun.
By the way, Tefera. I love Tefera, one of our listeners on Twitter. He goes, Kincaid, he goes, you're amazing. 227 and amen. He said, you're bringing them up. He goes, you're invited to the cookout. So I am invited to the cookout. By the way, Empty Nest was the show. Empty Nest was the name. Richard Mulligan was the name of the show where he was a doctor. Bert from Soap. You remember Bert.
Soap.
Yes, Bert. He's invisible.
Made himself disappear.
Right. He made himself invisible.
That was a great show.
You never watched Soap, did you?
Big night from Ranger Suarez.
You never saw Soap, right?
That was before
13 ounce.
No, I never saw Soap. No.
No, and it was a comedy.
Great. That sounds hilarious.
Mocking soap operas.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal was one of the stars.
Sounds hysterical.
His first TV job. But it's very, and you're getting on the Major League Baseball players for not watching Field of Dreams.
What do you mean?
You just dismiss something because you're like,
I'm not dismissing it.
Sounds like it.
Soap. Got it.
Not my era.
I get the premise.
Not my era.
I never said that. I'm defending Golden Girls, which came out well before I was alive.
There you go. It did. Very old show.
Caller has a point.
Extremely old reference and old show. Pat has a plea for Major League Baseball. And after yesterday, I can't believe it. I am going to absolutely back Pat Egan. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Got to tell you right now, your friends want to help you out. Your friends step up when you need them. And I can tell you that if you are a cancer patient, the American Association for Cancer Research is your friend. But why? Because the AACR is supported by people like you, friends. You may know friends, you may know family members who have been cancer patients. We thank you all because AACR is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the National Cancer Act by launching the 50 for 50 campaign. It's a commitment to raise $50,000 to continue advancement in cancer research. So please visit AACR.org/50for50 to learn about all the ways to get involved, like registering for the AACR 50 Mile Strides Challenge in September. Participation, support, and donations from people like you will help create the next big breakthroughs. Visit aacr.org/50for50 to learn more. You can register for strides. So if you want to be able to, can you move 50 miles in a week? I know Coach can. I know I can. You can too. And you can donate. aacr.org/50for50 because I can assure you, I'm living proof. Cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You waited long enough. Boss has pushed you around all week long. They're not paying you damn well enough. And you know what? You're ready to tell them to stick it. It's only going to be 98 degrees today. So right now, tell your boss, take that job and shove it. Now, here's Loverboy working for the weekend. See, I could have
like
gone
my bosses.
So I could have gone over to MMR back in the day. I mean,
probably not.
That would have been my audition tape.
You wouldn't have gotten the job.
I don't think I've gotten the job. How about Paul and Stan's show? Do they need another?
No, I think
wacky
they're good.
Sidekick. Do they need?
They're
one?
Doing okay.
I think they're all okay. I watched them park those high end vehicles. I think they're all right.
Where do you watch them park them here? Down the house, down the shore.
Everyone's got high-end vehicles on that show. I mean, seriously.
You know.
Yeah. We look like a used car lot compared to them, except for Jamie with his North Penn Volkswagen, fancy schwagen.
Yeah, Jamie's
and
doing
notice,
well.
And notice
himself.
Who's off.
Oh, yes.
Did you see the thing he sent out on Twitter last night of his daughter and his niece?
Yeah, at the band.
Standing by the band. Yeah. That was so cute, yeah.
Now, do I have the oldest car?
What year is your car?
We've had it now. The car I'm driving was purchased 7 years ago. Am I driving the oldest car on the show? Your car is how old?
2018.
2018? Bob, yours can't be 7 years old.
No.
Looks too
not
clean.
Not 7 years old.
Is it? Just wondering.
I bought it used, though.
What are you trying to apply there? Mine's used, too. I'm second owner of this one, too. So, hey, we never overreact to preseason games in Philly, do we? Do you think anyone had their opinion of the 2021 Eagles swayed by last night's game? And I'm talking about swayed, meaning you went into last night's game thinking they were going to be a three-win team, and now you think they're going to be a seven-win team. And I'm talking about swayed. Your opinion was moved in a big way by what you saw last night. And if you are one of those folks, you could join us at 610-632-0975. I would just like to hear what you saw and why. And then, in the same way, did anything negatively affect you last night? Did you have a big swing? Nothing changes at all about my impression about this team, except that I just feel more confident that the Eagles may have hired themselves another head coach who can at least find some modicum of success and not be a complete bust in the NFL. Because no matter what anybody wants to say about Chip Kelly, and I was a Chip Kelly detractor from the day he was hired, I said, I know the ending of this movie. It's going to happen. And I tweeted it the first day he was hired.
I think a lot of times you guys were wrong.
I know the ending of the movie. This is not going to end well, but it's going to, I didn't think he'd have the success that he had. I thought he'd be like a 500 middling. I mean, he went 10-6 twice.
Yeah, he did.
So, but that's the only thing that I'm more confident of today than yesterday is that the head coach really does seem like he belongs. His team was prepared. His team seemed prepared, ready to go, well coached. And to me, that's part of the battle.
Yes, that was probably the biggest storyline for me last night. if I'm listing stories, if I was writing them today, the biggest one would be that this looked like an organized football team under a 39-year-old first-time head coach. And that's good. That's real good. My second one would be, as I stated earlier, Miles Sanders' thing is concerning me a little bit. Now, the guys that they put out there last night looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And the Gainwell kid, I like a lot. Is that his name?
Gainwell, yeah. I think Pat already
I don't know why it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
I said Pat was ordering the Scherzi last night.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Gainwell Scherzi.
I'm not a Scherzi guy for football.
You're not?
No, baseball.
Why, too cold?
Yeah, a little bit. And I need a new jersey, too, because, you know, I had this Wentz guy. I don't know if you guys know, he's not on the team anymore.
And by the way, I still do not have one, so I guess I got to get out to either the Eagles Pro Shop or somewhere and get myself one. Gainwell, though, is an interesting choice.
Yeah. Howard starts the game, and like I said earlier, on like the fourth or fifth play where he picked up a blitzing linebacker and creamed him, I said to myself, wow.
Self?
They knew they were going to pass a lot, and they can't afford to have Miles Sanders in there. They don't want to get Jalen Hurts hurt. So that's a storyline today. I'm asking Nick Sirianni.
No, they just said they just didn't want to play him last night. There is one theory, though. Maybe they just, as Pat brought up earlier with the Sanders situation, maybe, Pat, they just are so confident in his spot in the roster and they don't want him to get hurt.
That's what I thought, but I mean... Bob makes a better point than me on that. I think I lean towards Bob at this point.
If they're playing everybody, which they did.
They did.
They played Brandon Brooks for a series.
Wasn't that great to see?
I mean, really? You just decided that Miles Sanders was going to be the guy that you said, nah, we're going to give you the night off. I'm really thinking that they said, you know what? First 15 plays or whatever for Jalen Hurts, 11, 12 of them are going to be passes. We cannot afford to have Sanders in there trying to pick up blitzers.
Hey, the Bagster is a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. So check that on out. The Bagster doing some great, great work for you out there. Nobody gets thrown in the Bagster after last night.
No.
No one. I mean, there's nobody. There wasn't any tremendous performances that, you know, cause people to, or negative things where someone's going, man, that was so bad, that was so wildly bad, get this guy out of my sight.
No.
I even thought Joe Flacco looked much better than I've seen him look in 3 years.
He
had the time.
Yeah,
I have no interest in seeing him play as an Eagle. None. I don't want to see him take a snap. But after watching Nick Mullins, maybe I'm wrong. Nick Mullins is obviously struggling with the playbook a little bit because he's played a lot more competent football in the NFL in the last couple of years than Joe Flacco has in the last few years.
I see absolutely no need for Joe Flacco to be on the field this year if things are going the right way for the Eagles. And I don't mean right way meaning they're winning games. You need to see exactly what Jalen Hurts is, and you need to see what he is in every situation. There's no need for Joe Flacco, barring a 55-0 game or whatever it may be in that way, and barring injury also, for him to be on the field. Look, I want to see what Jalen Hurts does every minute of every game in every situation. And Nick Sirianni seems to be that guy, breaking down every little thing. I think that's what we're going to see.
Detail-oriented, which really is...
I love it. I love it.
That gets me excited. That level of detail, Pat, is always going to...
Yeah, I don't want some guy coming in, and I know you're very detail-oriented. We found that out very quickly on the show. But I don't want a guy coming in here being like, all right, I guess we'll run the ball this time. And
people don't realize that not every NFL head coach is detail-oriented. Like, I watched Dan Quinn, now the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. He was rah-rah speeches, motivator, create a great atmosphere, energize guys. My position coaches are going to coach, and I'm going to be like the puppet master that just controls it all. Sirianni seems like he's worried about every detail. Like every detail matters to him.
He's the head coach, and this is a big opportunity for him. I mean, it's his first year head coach. Not necessarily saying that if he would have failed here, he wouldn't get another opportunity. It's the NFL.
Sure.
You know, when you have a job in the NFL, you have a job for life. But you're seeing some guys who got opportunities at a young age and who haven't gotten that next step. Now, to counter that, you see guys like Adam Gase who fail and somehow get the Jets job. But
with googly eyes.
Yeah, I don't get it. But he should be detail-oriented. He should be taking this not necessarily maybe how I saw him, which is I'm just happy to be here. But he should take it as I'm happy to be here and I want to stay in this spot.
I've admitted one of my greatest shameful takes of all time. I was all about the Gase when they hired Doug Peterson.
I was on the Gus bus.
You're on the Gus bus. I was on the Adam Gase. Please give us Adam Gase. Give me Adam Gase. What a disaster. What a disaster. Hey, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982. It's Royal Billiards and Recreation, providing the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. Coming soon, a shuffleboard table.
Are you getting
Kincaid
one?
Kincaid household. Yes, we're getting a shuffleboard
table. Oh, nice.
Gonna
Friday nights at your house.
Going to get a shuffleboard table for the house. Cannot wait for that one.
Pat, can you play shuffleboard at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. All right,
I'll shuffle the board.
You're my partner.
Oh, all right.
Pat, you may really like playing our shuffleboard table because I'm debating the Eagles or the Temple University one.
I like both those teams, Johnny.
I know you do. But you won't do the Scherzi in the football. I like that, though.
Yeah,
some really hot games, though. Some of the games are hot early.
I put the jersey on.
So you put the jersey on and get that in there. Pat, I want you to just, I'm going to put it on a tee. I'm going to ask you to be like Jack at T-ball.
Okay.
And I know you're going to hit this one out of the park. Take us to the ninth inning yesterday where an umpire almost kept the Phillies from victory. Because here we go.
Finally got music. It only took till Friday for this segment to get music.
For Pat's point.
Yes. They actually...
Pat's point.
They made Ian Kennedy get 5 outs yesterday. This is a joke. Like, these pitches weren't... It wasn't, like, really debatable. They were strikes. And you made him get 5 outs. Now I'm sitting here on Friday night going, is Ian Kennedy going to be available today? He threw about 25 pitches because he had to get a 5-out save. Joe Girardi was completely justified in getting kicked out because, and he should have, because that was egregiously bad. Now, John, if only we had the technology to say stop. Oh, wait, no, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Like, we this is ridiculous.
To 99.8% accuracy in entire seasons where it has been used in the minor leagues. 99.8% accurate.
What the hell are we doing? We have geriatric umps out there in sweltering heat, guessing if a 95-mile-an-hour fastball lands in an invisible box as they stand behind two people. And we say, no, that's good enough. This is ridiculous. And it goes both ways, by the way. Because I've been sick of seeing it all season long, whether it goes for the Phillies' favor or not. It goes both ways. Last night's was, or yesterday's, was egregious because it was back-to-back calls that were pretty clear they were strikes.
And the critical nature, I thought the first one was obscenely bad.
It was. Second you were there.
Okay, the second one on the line?
What did the box on TV say? It was in.
Okay, so it was in. It hit the box.
Yeah, hit the box. And it wasn't one of those where they'll do it, they'll show it. And every once in a while, it's like tennis where they show the line and it's a sliver. No. Most of the ball was in the box. So it's so frustrating because I think eventually they are going to get robot umps. It's not like you're going to eliminate the job. The umpire still has to call balls and strikes back there. You still have to call bang, bang plays at the plate.
Right.
But it got me thinking, because we've talked about the robot ump thing for a while, but it got me thinking, are there any other rules in some sports that are long overdue to be implemented? So like the NFL is trying this no taunting thing. I'm in favor of taunting or having fun. John, you're not.
Yes.
But there's some rules that are just stupid and antiquated that we need to get rid of or we need to improve upon. Is there something that you guys can think of right off the top of your head, whether it be football, basketball, or hockey, that they need to change?
I think clock stopping on a complete pass when you run out of bounds at all. Not when they then spot the ball and start running the clock again. I think in the NFL... Just like with a running play. If you catch a 7-yard out and you go out of bounds, the clock should still be running.
Okay.
I think that's... By the way, at one point in football, it used to.
Yeah. I know I'm going to sound like a curmudgeon here.
Why?
I don't want to go to the boxed balls and strikes.
Why?
Here's what's funny. I think what's wrong with NBA officiating, and, you know, we talked about it with the calls that they're making. It's going to be with guys stepping into guys, and that's got to be changed and all. It can be changed if the referees call it differently. I firmly believe that. I watched the Olympics, and it was refereed in a total different way than the NBA is refereed, and the players knew how to play. I just think if umpires would say, guys, swing the bat, if umpires would call anything close strikes, as opposed, I don't know. I go back. I brought this up as a topic a couple weeks ago, and we never got to it. I struggle with, I think the NBA's refereeing could be a lot better if they understand each other. The referees can make it better, and I think instant replay has made the referee's job harder and worse.
Well, now, scrutiny, anytime you are put under scrutiny, when somebody has scrutinized something that you do, it gets in your head and it affects you.
But yeah. Isn't that exactly what a robot umpire is? It's basically...
No, robot umpire takes the human element out of it.
Well, you put it perfectly. Yes. Is that what we want out of sports?
I want to get it right. If you tell me I can get something... Bob, they've done it again, too, is two full seasons in minor league baseball where they use robot umps, 99.86% accurate.
Yeah.
I get it right. That element comes out of the game. We don't have to talk about a game is being determined by getting it right.
I used to be in favor of the human element factor, but when they started bringing replay to the sport, which was long overdue now that I think about it, then it became, okay, well, if you're going to do replay, then do the robot ump. Because not only does it take the onus off the umpire and the stress off the umpire to make the right call, but it also takes the pitcher into effect. Because the pitcher is no longer concerned about getting squeezed. He's no longer thinking about where he has to put it because all of a sudden the box is floating around because the umpire doesn't know what he's doing. He can just focus on making the pitch and knowing that, okay, if that's a ball, it is
99.8%
then it was a ball.
Yeah. Vincent Pellegrini, my man Vince, he says change the three-point line. That's a really good one.
Change it. Oh, he wants to. That's the rule. He doesn't
make it a four-point line.
It's just too close. It's too close anymore.
Well, I'll give you one for hockey that I know fans aren't a fan of. I think you know what it is, too. 4 minutes for bleeding. No one's a fan of it until all of a sudden your guy gets high-sticked and you're sitting there screaming at the television, bleed, bleed, bleed. But
I would literally carry a little blade or something in the heart of my guys, some of them bite down their lip. I would do it all themselves. The time. Sure.
Guys
I would do
bite
that,
themselves.
Too. Absolutely.
And then go, smear it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even smear it to areas where it is. So, hey, enjoy the superior comfort of Acela for less with Saver Fares. These are one-way trips from Philadelphia that are as low as $43. Like the one I'm willing to make to Manhattan should Aaron Nola have a critical start down the stretch. Book early and save at Amtrak.com. I will get on a train, go up to Manhattan, and be out of the jurisdiction so that way Aaron Nola feels like he has a safe space. If there is a really, really critical spot. I was shocked yesterday, though, that how much that ninth inning was so excruciating. Vince and I are watching the game, and I'm crawling the wall. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is agonizing.
Yeah.
It's been forever, Bob.
It's been forever, isn't it?
No, not when it's weird. It's not when it's going on.
It's like working out, like the burn. They talk about, oh, you feel the burn? Oh, it's a good burn.
When it's going on,
it sucks.
It sucks.
How do you know?
But then when you get nice and swole.
There you go.
When you get nice and big.
Well,
Bobby,
you're buff, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, you're buff. I mean, and Egan's just like you. He's just buff.
Pat knows.
Pat's buff.
You get all jacked.
Pat did. One of the first things Pat said to me today was his groin is hurting.
Yeah.
How'd you hurt the...
No personal questions.
I kind of just turned around and walked away. Maybe it's because he's played like 6 hockey games in the last 3 nights.
And by the way, a lot of points were being scored the other night, right? You had 4 points in a game?
No.
It was a couple games.
No, it was...
No?
Over the stretch of my career, I've had 4 points.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was a little bit more than that.
Just 4 points.
I want to do a show outing to one of Pat's games.
Absolutely.
You guys want to come out for the 10:45 puck drops?
You know what's going to be great is when I...
Never mind.
After I move...
Yeah, you'll be in the area, actually.
After I move, I would absolutely want to go see
you. You can sit with that one guy's girlfriend there's always that one guy who drags his girlfriend in the 10:45 puck drop. So she can sit there and look on Instagram for 2 hours.
Probably in your games, Pat, I would guarantee you that I will probably have one or two people that I coached or coached against.
In the one rink for sure, yeah.
In the one rink, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it'll be
I'll get you tickets at Will Call.
You'll leave them for me?
Yeah.
A little envelope?
Yeah.
That'll be great. We're looking forward to it, and we love that you are such a part of the show. Coach, what's going on? Is there like another scuffle, a kerfuffle breaking out in is that breaking out in the YouTube room now? Over something?
Yeah.
What is it about?
It's just the whole side chat. Like,
yeah, what's going on tonight? Like, what is it?
Well,
it seems like people are up in their feelings.
Get your people under control, Coach.
There's some people on the chat today that are a little miserable.
Name names.
And the other, you know, the other people in the chat are calling them out.
Did they take them out for it?
Yeah.
What are they upset about?
Yeah, it's just, who knows?
Well, by the way, I did see one here.
Be better.
Someone complaining about working for the weekend.
Yeah, so... I put that song in every Friday at 9 o'clock, for you to do your thing, and Pat gets mad. And
that's an homage, and it's an homage to one of my former coworkers.
And in radio, pull the curtain back a little bit, it is an ongoing bit that we do, and it's just something that we do every Friday. So
and by
some
the
of
way,
the,
it's bad. A lot of bits sometimes.
Yeah, it's a bad song, but... It's something that we do every Friday at 9.
The bit.
Bad bit, yeah.
Okay.
No, but that's fun, too.
So some of the people in the chat are like, I hate that song. And
don't do it.
I'm writing back saying, it's just have some fun. It's Friday. We're just goofing around.
Okay. Oh. I saw one guy say it's unfair to people because a lot of people have to work on the weekend.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, now it's one of those things. I hate the word. We don't use it in our house. But seriously, that is a shut up moment. That's like, just shut up.
I need to come clean on something. I hate... when we do that bit, I can't stand it. And part of it's on me. Every week I forget that it's coming. So I had to create a Gmail account and I signed on to the YouTube chat.
To bring it to.
To bring awareness to the fact that we need to stop
there
doing
it. There you go. Hey, the official sportsbook partner, the real Philly sports fan, is the Parks Sportsbook app. Follow along on Twitter for daily specials, links to the podcast and more, which are really cool. You got to be 21 if you got a gambling problem. Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Coach, why don't you put up that poll and see if that has to be something we get rid of or something that we keep, since you have, like, your little YouTube polls.
No, because I don't really care what they're saying on here. I'm going to continue to do it.
There we go. Yeah. All right. The Braves are trying to take advantage of your Phillies this week.
I don't give a shit.
And the Mets. Got to pay attention. Plus, Bob gets a little emotional with us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
I'm an emotional guy, John. You know that.
You're charming.
Yes, but what a week it was for the Phils. It's Friday morning after a week of game at the ballparks, and that means it's time for me to award the official Pierce Phelps Bryant Whatever It Takes Award to the Phillies player who did whatever it took to help the club this week. Well, this week I'm going to give the award to... I'm going to go with Bryce Harper. That's right. All he did yesterday was get a first-inning home run in a big, big game against the Dodgers. It was his 21st of the year. On the year, he's hitting .298, 46 RBI. And we know he has launched himself into the MVP talk. And just like Bryce Harper, your Pierce Phelps Bryant heating and air conditioning contractor will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable when you're watching the game from your couch this summer. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant contractor near you, visit nopaybryant.com. Bryant, whatever it takes.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We really, really appreciate you. Tell your family, tell your friends. Those of you who stick around, we really love it. And Tom, who's in for Connor. I got to tell you, Tom, blasphemy during the break.
Why is that?
Well, Angelo's, the Angelo's Rabbi Pizza, thanks to Rhonda. She managed to grab some from our friend, Mr. DiBella. They brought in pizzas. And like the small delicious sort of person. Oh, spectacular. Really, really good stuff. And Tom walks over and he says, well, pizza's pizza. And I said, you skinny, tall ass dudes piss me off. Pizza's pizza. I mean, no.
So untrue.
No, absolutely untrue. Pizza's pizza. That's just blasphemy. Absolutely to me. Just drives me crazy. Good stuff.
I had to give it a try because you guys were bragging about it. And since we were talking about it.
And so there it is. Yeah, I want to get it.
Oh, delicious.
Okay.
Absolutely delicious.
The answer is pizza. The great slice of pizza is defined by
the sauce.
My answer too. Pat, great slice of pizza is defined by
the crust.
You go by crust. Coach, you don't eat like a human being, but when you did eat pizza when you were fat, what did you think a great slice of pizza was?
Crust. I agree with Pat. Crust.
You like the crust.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says cheese, and cheese is a gigantic part of the pizza, but none of us said cheese. By the way, Mr. Snuffy, I apologize.
Aw, what's the matter, Snuff?
I did promise yesterday that we would see Dylan.
Oh, we failed on our Dylan show.
No,
yesterday.
I failed. I mean, I'm sorry about that. I did promise that you would get to see Dylan McKinnon. And Pat, we can't get Dylan in studio. He's got a shoot this morning, modeling shoot, doesn't he, this morning?
Yeah.
He's off
the
modeling
either
shoot.
That or he's got, I don't know, like his life. It's kind of like Jamie, like I can't even fathom his lifestyle.
Yes.
It's like every day there's a new woman he's dating.
New girl, new swipe right.
Yeah, he's got modeling.
He's a model.
He's not built for this industry because he's a beautiful person, and we're not.
He should be in front of a camera, too. Because Dylan, like, to just think that you just go in, if you're Dylan, you go in on a Friday night and you say, do I want one from aisle 5 or one from aisle 4? I mean,
it's kind of like Villanova and Temple in recruiting. Like, Temple can spend years recruiting a player in basketball, but then when Villanova comes around for 3 minutes, it's like it's over. That's Dylan in the bar. You can be talking to a girl for hours.
And then Jay Wright walks in.
Dylan comes in, and it's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Pat, I mean, it is, and we'll have Jay on during basketball season, but I mean, it's you and I bonding over that.
Stuff to watch.
You can have all the respect in the world for somebody and still be like, oh, God, here comes Jay Wright.
Yep. I don't want to get to know Jay Wright because I don't want to like Jay Wright.
Correct. I sort of feel the same way.
You don't want to like him?
No, I don't want to get to know him because I know that like every single other person I've met on the main line area when I wander on the main line, they all have a Jay Wright story to tell me.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh, well, you know, Jay Wright comes in here. You know Jay Wright gets his hoagies here at this Primo. Do you know that Jay Wright's not... First of all, Jay Wright's not eating a lot of hoagies. Not eating hoagies.
No, why not?
Jay Wright looking like that.
He can look like that and eat hoagies.
He's not sitting and eating a ton of hoagies. Jay Wright may be picking them up for other people.
I saw Jay on the beach last year. He was eating...
Was he eating a hoagie?
He had a nice chair. It looked like it bent in every direction.
He had one of the... Well, a lot of...
Name dropper.
A lot of those players... A lot of ex-players and stuff like that have bad backs, right?
I don't know, but he had a nice chair. Yeah, I don't have a nice chair like that. So I texted him. I said, I see you on the beach. And he came over and hung out with my guys for a while.
Name dropper.
He's a good man. No, Jay's a good dude. He's one of us. He's not a name dropper.
No,
but I'm Pat.
He's a two-time national championship. Bob, I love you. But anytime we do name dropper with you, it's like, oh, no, that doesn't count. No, it does.
Yes.
Jay Wright is a name drop. I saw Jay Wright. I texted him. I hung out with him on beat. That's a name
that
drop.
That is a name drop. If Shaq is one, then that is. Same.
Jay Wright's won two national championships.
Jay Wright is a rock star in college.
He's one of us.
There you go. Hey, check out our friends at PropSwap. With football being back, it's time to list your futures bets and your long shots on PropSwap, where the average PropSwap seller makes $500 a month listing and selling tickets. Go to PropSwap.com now. The Braves are going to try to exploit this weekend. So, again, We're just going 2 out of 3. We're all fine with this, right? We're not. We're 2 out of 3. Everything's okay.
I want them all.
But 2 out of 3.
Give me all three.
Pat, you're fine. 2 out of 3. We're signing it.
I expect 2 out of 3.
I do expect 2 out of 3 also. Reds are good, though. That's a really good lineup.
It is. They hit the ball, and they were hot last week.
Was that another?
I missed.
He missed, too. It's my superior defense.
That's what it was.
As Bob shoots for the basket.
Yeah. They were really hot. It's not a given series. It's not like, oh, they'll come in here and you're going to roll them. You're going to have to play good baseball. And then yesterday, fundamentally, they did play good baseball, the Phillies. So, and you have Wheeler and Nola going 2 out of 3 games. So you should take two. You have to take 2 out of 3.
Sabonis asks, is Jay Wright on the list, JK? First of all, no, because I haven't met Jay. Second of all, he'll never be on the list because every single person that I know personally that knows Jay Wright loves Jay Wright.
He's crazy.
So he can't be on the list because that would mean that I was just being an a-hole if he was on the list. Unless Jay Wright like came up to me, like cut me off in traffic and said, I don't give a damn, you know, or something. You know, I'd imagine Jay Wright's car, he's got to drive a big car.
You think?
Or an SUV. He's got to drive it either an SUV or I see him in a big sedan.
Like he'd be a big sedan. I'm thinking a sporty BMW.
Really?
Something like that.
I'm thinking big sedan. Yeah.
Or a Volvo.
Pat, maybe we could find out.
Or an Audi.
I was thinking a Saturn.
Maybe we could soap his windows.
Nice 97 Saturn.
Because he beats our asses, Bob!
Oh Bob, you have no idea how much turmoil and just pain he has caused
He's so good.
When have you ever expected to beat a Jay Wright team?
Expected?
As a
Temple fan?
As a Temple fan. When John Chaney was the coach, I had many years.
There were years under Fran where I expected him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Probably when I was in college. Probably, honestly, the last time, probably 2000, I want to say 12, maybe 13. Mm. It's been a while. But that a lot of it has to do with the fact that he comes in and out-recruits Temple. It hurts.
Dustin says on YouTube, I would let Jay Wright cut me off. He'd have no problem. Jay Wright could do whatever he wants in this town. Seriously.
Yeah, I was, when talk was coming about of him maybe going to the NBA and all of that, and I was doing a story at the time on Josh Hart.
Okay.
So I had to go to a couple games because we were looking to see. I was doing a story. I was coming to the NBA at the time, doing a story about how his game might translate to the NBA. And I sat with Jay for a few games in his office just talking. He asked me what the NBA life was like, knowing that I was a beat guy. This is what makes Jay Wright as good as Jay Wright is. Asking me, like, so tell me what a week on the road's like. You know, just, so just him just.
A reconnaissance or what?
No, I don't know. I think he was just like, I don't know. He was there just being curious and being Jay, which is just a normal, down-to-earth, good human being. And, you know, just asking me who had experienced it, what it was like, you know? And he's just an everyday guy I know the biggest compliment you can give him is what the two of you are giving him. And that's that you don't want to like him, but you do.
I don't want to, no.
Yeah.
Big Dan, Fire Chief Dan checks in. He drives a giant Tahoe.
Oh, is that right?
He drives a giant Tahoe, but so he sees them tooling around there. So there you go. So we know what Jay drives. So, Pat, we can get eggs.
Yeah.
And we could be there on Lancaster Avenue and just wait. Every Tahoe, we just pelt it with eggs.
A little banana in the tailpipe action.
That'd be a good idea.
I've seen you throw, John. The Tahoes are safe.
little Beverly Hills Cop action. That could work out. Two, Mr. Snuffy asks, aside from Reuben Frank, are there any other famous people who I'm on their list? Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp blocks me, and he blocks me because I would make fun of the fact that he didn't know how to park at the gym. And I talked about it on my radio show.
That's reason to fight.
No, he did not know how to park. So it was just a Shannon Sharp. Oh, no, by the way, after a string of compliments about Shannon Sharp, it was, but Shannon needs somebody to teach him how to park.
Egan, get Shannon Sharp on the phone and let's iron this out.
No, we don't want him on the, I would never want him on the
show. I don't like that he doesn't like my man, John.
Jason Whitlock also had me on his list.
Well, that's a list that you probably want to be on.
Jason Whitlock, I called him out and he was not happy and didn't enjoy it. So other than that, I can't think because most, though people could find me mildly annoying, most people don't find me where they'd want to put me on their list. I think I'm a kind person. I don't think I'm ending up on people's lists. Hopefully not.
I bet you there's some kind people that are on your list too.
No.
You can be kind and be a jerk. Why am I debating this?
You can't though. Can you? Can you be kind and be a jerk? No.
Be a kind person and not like somebody. Like you could.
Well, it's not liking somebody. It's because of a
yeah.
Like the whole thing with Keith Olbermann. I would do Dan Patrick's radio show. I would fill in for Dan, and Keith Olbermann did an hour on his radio show. So I would fill in for Dan, so I would have Keith Olbermann co-host with him for an hour as I'm in Dan's chair. Keith Olbermann would not talk to me before the show started. He would not talk to me during commercial breaks. And even when we did the show in the same studio, he would not shake hands.
He didn't want to do the show before the show, John.
No, he wouldn't even talk to you, Bob. Wouldn't even say a pleasantry.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
it was that bad.
He seems like the type.
He was a strange cat. Cooney's Corner is always a strange, strange place. But last night, he was all up in his feels.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I was up in my feels last night. That?
You were.
I'm not kidding.
Feels
you.
And dreams.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed that last night. I thought the Kevin Costner thing walking out, although cheesy, I recognized that. Okay, I did. And it went on maybe a minute or two too long.
A minute or two too long?
I thought it was really, really good. I think he got caught up in the moment also. And he was interviewed. He stepped into the booth with Joe Buck. And what's his face? That old Atlanta pitcher. And
John Smoltz?
Yeah,
did
whatever.
You just say what's his face?
Yeah, you know.
You would love Smoltz.
No, I don't care.
No, you'd love him.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
So he gets in there and he basically says, I walked onto the field and he was kind of taken aback. Like, whoa, 30 years ago, you know, this all came about from a small little movie at the time that they thought it was going to be. But watching it last night, I don't know why. It just really got to me. I thought it was a real special moment, real special sports moment that wasn't actually sports, if you know what I mean. It wasn't during a game. It wasn't on the ice, on the court. It was a special moment brought about by a movie. But I loved it. And I wanted to ask you guys, and I think I put this in the show sheet last night, you guys remember any moments in sports that didn't necessarily be a part of the game that were really, really special to you?
I had members of our traveling media party videotaping me when the Eagles unveiled the championship banner.
Oh, yeah?
And I was sitting in the front row of the press with the traveling press from Atlanta.
Right.
And they were literally videotaping it because people wanted to see, was I going to get choked up when that banner went down? And I did. And I got completely choked up.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How about that?
When I saw that banner, 2017 champions lifted, there were absolutely not tears, but my eyes all welled up. And yes.
Really?
It was emotional.
How about
that?
That
was amazing.
How about that?
Best moment ever, February 4th, 2018. Of my life that doesn't involve a family or a loved one. That moment. The best ever.
Mine, I have two. The first one was the Flyers-Rangers preseason game where they had the State of the Union and the whole place just stopped and watched the State of the Union address.
I covered that game.
Then they decided, you know what, this isn't worth it. And they all kind of just shook hands and went home. And it was one of those moments where, like, sports was an escape, but we all realized there was a bigger problem at hand.
That's a great, great one. And if you remember, in the first two periods, they fought. They had, like, six fights. And then the State of the Union comes on, and they all just, like, yeah, as you said, Pat, shook hands. I remember I went to the locker room after the game and was interviewing Rick Tocchet, and then it just became, like, a personal conversation. And it was so deep of what was going on with everybody. That was amazing. That's a great one.
The last one I had was Allen Iverson's retirement ceremony. I mean, it was just like I grew up with watching him play and seeing the banner go up. That was something.
I got to tell you, too, the Flyers, the Phillies do a great job with those ceremonies.
Yeah.
Oh, they really do.
You're so right.
Top notch. I mean,
they're great at it.
And I've seen other organizations do it, and they don't.
No, they're all stars at that. The problem they have is with baseball. I love, like, they've always been great. They've always, everything around it, they just have to get the baseball people intact. And I think they're, at least they're there now, so that's a good thing.
Cousin Ryan the fireman says, George W. Bush and the entire presentation of the Mets-Yankees game after 9/11.
That was
amazing.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing.
We're such a unified country.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even get my mind back to that time frame of how this country felt after that. How everybody on the streets, everybody you met, every business you went into, everything.
There was immense pride and togetherness.
And togetherness and pride. I wanted to show you a picture just to say that's your niece Olivia's car. Toto say she got hit.
How is she?
She's doing all right, but now the injuries are starting to show up on the legs. So she's at the orthopedist now getting checked out. Oh my God!
That must be the worst for you.
Well, I told Bob. I don't know how he does it with four souls walking independently, because it is being a parent. Your heart is outside your body,
dude.
You know it,
dude. I had this conversation with Chuck, our program director, right yesterday, because Chucky's boy Spencer is a teenager now, and you know. The different type of worries that you have. Like, mine are still...
The bigger they are, the bigger the problem.
They're under control right now. And plus, they're in your bosom.
Yeah, like, I can see my older one. He's starting to creep up a little bit. You know, the pit hairs, right? Like, it's starting to come. And I'm like, dude, stay, man. I don't want to lose you, dude.
And my little one,
I'm like, you know... Oh,
I don't know, but as I said to Bob, it's the first thing I said this morning. I said, I don't know how you do it. How you have four souls walking the earth and you let your mind not, because all I can say is now it's like today she's in pain. Today she's like, and she's beaten up. She's got bruising all over.
That poor thing.
Yesterday she got out of the car. She's like, I'm feeling okay. And I took look at the car and I'm freaked out.
Yeah, man.
Like, man. And by the way, they build cars amazingly today.
Thank God. Oh, my God. Thank God she's okay.
Oh, yeah. God.
She's not seriously hurt. Oh, my God. That poor thing.
But the happy story of the night. We walked away from the Eagles game, all of us collectively, just saying they looked like a professional outfit that knew what the plan was, and they looked competent. And to me, that is the most reassuring thing. That they looked good. They looked prepared.
I think Sirianni, I agree with you. I think Sirianni is going to be competent.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I that was my takeaway, which was I feel best about Nick Sirianni.
That was the you walked away feeling best about him.
Yes.
I don't want to take your show away from you.
No,
of all the people.
I just wanted to see how they would go out and little things.
Yes.
Things look like they were really well buttoned up.
I think he's going to be a good coach. I think he knows what he's doing. I've been impressed this camp with him.
I got to ask you this question. Because
I didn't know what to expect, you know.
Sure. Right. I have a theory on this that I laid out. I don't know if you heard it or not, but why didn't Miles Sanders play?
Yeah, I heard your theory, and I kind of agree.
That's
with
scary,
you
think that may
though.
Have been it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's scary,
so that's the little
it
red
is.
Flag
what
I
are you
come
gonna
away
know?
With.
Is our opponent's going to know Sanders is in the game, they're running.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
Because is the offensive line going to be that dominant that they can just say, Sanders is in the game, we're running.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I thought that was right, Bobby.
It's scary.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
It is a scary.
I got one word for it, gamesmanship.
Okay.
That would be the one word that comes with taunting.
Okay, now that's funny because gamesmanship is that a bad word?
I played along in the card as I was listening to you, and I heard Pat Fawn. Johnny, you said ignorant.
Ignorance.
Yeah.
Like taunting to me.
But see, I thought more gamesmanship because, you know, when you get in somebody's head, that's
yes.
an advantage.
Yes.
I mean, that's what taunting it really, I always thought was supposed to be, which was to try to get you an edge, to try to get in somebody's head.
Anytime someone
which tries
tells
you to win.
Anyone, someone tells you, if someone said to you, Anthony, every 2 minutes you're touching your eyebrow and fixing your eyebrow, it would start to freak you out. You'd be like, am I doing?
Yes.
Am I doing it? Oh my God, am I doing it?
Yep.
Because, and you do draw it to your attention. That kind of stuff can get in your head.
Without a doubt. That's why I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a tool to help you win.
I love that he said after the game, yeah, but I know that there were a couple throws. He goes, but I need our wide receivers to start catching some of those bad throws.
Yes.
First of all, he flat out said they were bad throws, but they are catchable balls. Go get them.
Yes.
So he holds the receivers accountable and lets his quarterback know, if you throw bad throws, I'm telling the public.
Yep.
So that's the way it's going to be. Have a great weekend, cuz.
You too, guys.
There we go.
Hey, all right, give the angel a hug for him.
There, well. Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, WinDonation. Make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Coach and Bob, we love you. Have a great time. We look forward to seeing you on Monday after the Phillies win a series against the Reds, and we get ready for the Eagles' next preseason game, probably the most critical one. Join us on Monday for the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.